You used to just get up. Now it's a whole production. Let's change that. Get to Joint Relief Institute for fast, immediate pain relief. Covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
It is Sunday morning. It's a joyous and glorious morning. I'm Wendy Snyder. We're going to spend the morning into the afternoon together. Pride Parade kicks off at 11. Dave Schwann is here. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Wendy. Ready for the hot weather?
I am ready.
You know what? I am too, actually. I'm a summer baby, and I like hot weather. It's going to get a little intense here later this week, but I want the warmth. I really do.
I know. I don't know. I think I'm just a born complainer because I don't like the winter. It's like you feel it in your bones. It's so cold.
And the older you get,
yeah,
the harder it is to deal with it.
I'm telling you, it's tough to get out of bed in the morning. The joints are creaking.
Yeah, they are.
They are. I can't even joke about that. And then summertime, spring is exciting because you know what's on the other side of it. But, I don't care that much about spring. Summer is great. I don't belong to a pool anymore. I think I went the whole summer, last summer, not even going in a pool or a lake. That's not acceptable.
Yeah. I don't think I did either, actually. Just got tied up with things, you know?
Yeah.
Now, in the past couple of years, my girlfriend, Gilda, who lives in Virginia, we have gone to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. So we've been on the Atlantic Ocean. So we got into the Atlantic a couple of times.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't dipped myself in water since for two summers ago.
Yeah, I'm glad you specified.
Yes.
Yes.
And then summer's great. I love it. It's really the humidity. My husband, Jimmy Mack, my boys, Dylan and Michael, and some friends that are in from out of town are going to a Sox game today. And the game starts at 1:05, and they said, hey, you want to come? And I'm like, no way. First of all, I get off the air at 1. I don't want to have to deal with getting there late. And it's too hot. I don't know. I'm a baby. See, now I'm complaining.
Now you're complaining about the heat.
I know. You're
saying we're ready for it.
I do like summer. Jack Heinrich is in the sports lounge today. Hey, Jack.
I like that, sports lounge.
Yes. I don't know. I've just been calling it that. This is going to be a bad question. I'm sorry. Is FIFA still going on?
Okay. It's going on for a while.
I haven't watched a second of it.
Really?
Now's the time to start.
Why?
Because it's the knockout stages.
Yeah, we've just moved on to the second stage of the tournament. Good morning, by the way.
Hi, Eli.
Hi, Wendy.
Eli Burke producing the show.
Jack, I don't want to step on your feet too much, but the knockout rounds does start today. So all the group play where you had the round robin, everyone plays each other, where if you lose, you still have another game, that's all over. That ended last night. We now have a finalized bracket of 32 teams, and one of them will be the World Cup winner.
Are we still in it?
Oh, yeah. We won our group.
I'm so sorry. Schwani, are you into it other than reporting some news and updates?
Well, I've been watching it off and on, but I can't say I've been really following this closely.
All right, I'm sorry.
But I like it when you say FIFA.
It is just so fun to say. I love it.
Yeah.
And then I also want to know, Eli, I overheard you talking, I can't remember to whom you were speaking about this, but you guys were laughing at all the people who are coming in from all the other countries that are loving American things like Buc-ee's and stuff. I've never been to a Buc-ee's, so I would be excited about that too.
I just went to a Buc-ee's last month and it's life changing. It really is. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Jack and I have had these conversations on air before.
Explain what was so wonderful.
Yeah, what is Buc-ee's?
Well, the bathrooms are the cleanest ever. There's food out the wazoo. It's unbelievable.
We should start by saying that Buc-ee's is a gas station.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is, I mean, I don't have the Guinness paper in front of me, but I do believe it's the world's largest gas station or chain of gas stations where there's about 120 pumps of gas at
each single
station. It's like a Walmart on the inside where you can get food galore. Like Jack said, there's a fudge shop. You can get fresh brisket.
Excuse me, wait, stop. All right, a fudge shop and fresh brisket?
Fudge, brisket, like nuts, like gourmet food.
Okay, I mean, where is it?
Yeah, where's all the closest the Buc-ee's?
The closest one is currently being built right now just outside Milwaukee.
Oh,
but
God.
But these started all across the South. It's started in Texas, all over the state, and then spread across the South, and now they're going more nationwide. I think one also just opened up in Ohio around Columbus. So they are getting to the Midwest slowly but surely, and the more that are here, the more I recommend people go and visit, because they are a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Is it worth taking a road trip to just go to a Buc-ee's?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
They have billboards all over the country that show you how many miles you are from the nearest one, including up to like 1,000 miles away.
Oh, yeah. I saw one for like 300 when I was going down to Tennessee.
Yeah, there's a route from Texas to California where you're driving, and it says, oh, if you make a U-turn right now in 978 miles, you can get a fresh brisket sandwich at Buc-ee's. And they have these billboards all over the nation.
All right. Well, I have to go to a Buc-ee's. Schwani, you and I should do a road trip. Like, you know, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. You know, Schwani and Wendy go to Buc-ee's.
I'm ready.
All right. We should do that. We're going to take a very quick break, and then I need to talk about some of the things that, other than Buc-ee's, that people visiting this country are very excited about, because I am late to the party. FIFA! It's just fun to say. All right, it's 720, 312-981-7200, by the way. If you've been to a Buc-ee's, what is your favorite part of a Buc-ee's? I'd like to hear. It's 720 WGN. I've gotten better. I brought a little amp in and a little electric guitar, and I'm just strumming along and having some fun, wishing John Hansen would call me. Oh, look who's here. Hi, John.
Hey, Wendy. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing great. Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
I've never been, but I've seen those billboards that's like 350 miles away. And I didn't realize how big they were. Like, I mean, I knew there were a bunch of them, but fudge and brisket, that's what they called me in college. I'm down, baby.
I thought that was the morning show in the radio station you were on.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. WPGU's Morning Zoo with fudge and brisket. Yep, exactly.
So you are en route to the Chicago Pride Parade. You know, John, it's the 55th annual.
I did know that. Yeah, like this is like I think my 12th straight year in one of the floats. So I'm with the Blackhawks this year. For years I was on with the TV side of things, and now I've been recruited by Tommy Hawk, who will be, I think, probably the sweatiest thing at the Pride Parade today. That is a lot of feathers, and, you know, he can only do so much, or the bird can only do so much, but we'll be waving along. We're, like, going to be exactly, like, at the halfway part of the parade. So, like, if you're going, you know, and you want to watch the first 75 floats, I think we're right at, like, number 75 out of 155 this year, Wendy.
Wow. I was in it one year with Q101, the radio station, and I had the best time ever. It was so fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah, you know, like, it's easy to become kind of jaded if you've been many times before. But the I will say it's just a really cool perspective being in it. And, you know, years ago, I actually skated along with it with the Chicago Gay Hockey Association in rollerblades, which was probably the coolest experience because you're right there. But the energy is just great. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's a great event for everyone. And I think it's just a great way for the city to get together on a. And, like, this is pretty good weather, Wendy. We're at the beginning of the warm up stage. So, like, well, like low 80s, we're heat indices. I don't know. Schwani will tell me upper 80s, maybe. Not too bad. Not raining or stormy. We've had a couple stormy years over the past few years.
And I'm sure there will be some Nerf, like, water guns where people, you know, will shoot you and with water and cool you off a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
do they
what
do
I look
that?
Out for the most.
Yeah, I
no,
love
no,
that.
They should, though. I mean, that's actually, isn't that your job this year, the Nerf water gun station, and you're stuck at GN, so.
Well,
I'll be unattended.
You know,
come on, brisket.
Okay, what was the other one?
Fudge.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what I'm calling you. I don't want to be brisket.
Okay. we'll come up with another name then, Wendy. It's fine. You can be anything you want, baby.
Can I just say...
It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun.
John, I told this to Schwani last week, and I've told you this off the air. Every time I'm on the air, I want to learn something, and I want to make a difference. And those are my goals every time I'm on the air. And I also want anyone who is listening at WGN Radio, listeners or people who work here, to just call in like you. This can be like our meeting place.
I like that. It should be, right? And
yeah.
Because we are all a big family on air. And, I will say, though, a lot of times I call in and Eli doesn't let me through. I don't get past the screener. So, Eli's got to work on that.
He's got a tough screening process, you know?
Yeah. He's like, we just don't have time for you, John, today. I'm sorry. And get hung up on pretty quickly. But, no, it's a gorgeous day. And I think he should have gone to the Sox game, though, Wendy.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so nice. It's so easy to park there and, like, pop into the stadium. I mean, it's not like going to Wrigley where it can be a real hassle, although the Red Line gets you right. Though I guess the Red Line gets you right there for the Sox game, too. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of Sox fan are you? They're really good. They're in first place.
I know. Can you even go this afternoon? I don't. I have weeding I have to do, and that to me is super fun. Because I usually
they are out of control, yeah.
I have a little cocktail while I'm weeding that. You know, I need a payoff for doing work around the house.
Yeah. You need that little buzz while you're dragging out some creeping Charlie. It,
exactly.
It really makes your day go by. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, Tommy Hawk will not be the only one in feathers today, I have a feeling.
No, that is true. Great point. I think he will have the most feathers on, I will say that, out of anyone. So,
it'll
be a lot of fun. Go ahead.
Is he wearing a little Blackhawks thong or something today?
Oh, boy, Wendy. No, probably just a Blackhawks headband.
I know. I'm kidding.
I think that's usually what he puts on. I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. I'll see him when I get there. I'm just about getting into the city right now, and then I've got to transverse up to our spot, but that'll be a fun day. Hopefully a really safe day. It always ends up great. And, I'll let you. You want me to call while I'm on the float?
Sure.
In the middle of it?
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be able to hear anything in the background, but I'll give you some of the noise.
I would love that. That would be great. The parade steps off at Grace and Broadway at 11 a.m., right? Is it sharp or, you know, leeway?
Yeah, no, they're pretty sharp about it. It used to be noon. I'm so glad they moved it up. Honestly, I'd rather move it up to about 7 a.m., I'm going to put my petition in for next year. I like getting it done early. It's nice. It is a long parade, but it's a lot of fun, and a lot of the festivities afterwards will be going on. But I've got my water packed. I've got my sunscreen and a little ibuprofen, because when I'm on the microphone for an hour screaming at a crowd, I get a little headache. So I'm all ready to go, Wendy.
You are adorable. Yeah, call in whenever, John, and give Tommy Hawk my best. I'm a big fan.
All right, and tell Eli to put me through, okay? Thank you.
I'm doing my best.
All right, John.
Signing off. It's Fudge signing off. Bye-bye, Brisket.
All right, Fudge or Brisket. I don't even know which one I am anymore. We have to continue this Bucky's talk. I think, Eli, you've been to one because aren't you from Texas? Isn't that where you originally went to one?
Yeah, I pretty much grew up going to Bucky's.
Lucky Bucky. And Jack, when did you go to one and why? I don't remember. He said he just went, was it last week? Like a month or so ago for the first time?
He was on a bachelor trip or something like that.
Oh.
He was telling me, and they all made a pit stop, and it was one of the best pit stops you could make. But, Caitlin, you go to school in Texas. You probably had a couple Bucky's encounters, too.
Yeah, I experienced going to Bucky's for the first time, I think, 2 years ago, and I've been forever changed since.
Really? It's a youngin' thing, huh?
It's amazing. The bathrooms, they have so much merchandise, food. Really, you can get anything.
Yeah. By the way, that is Caitlin Gajavich.
That was perfect.
Really? All right. Caitlin is interning, and where do you go to school?
I go to school at the University of Texas at Austin.
All right. Do they have a Bucky's on campus?
They do not, sadly.
All right. Caitlin Gajavich. No, that's not it.
Yeah, almost.
Oh.
You had it the first time.
Gajavich.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Caitlin will be with us. Perhaps you can talk to her. Maybe John Hansen will get through to Caitlin. And Eli, you got to put him through when he calls back. I would prefer if you do. All right. 55th annual Chicago Pride Parade kicks off at 11 a.m. I can't believe it's been going on for 55 years. That's fantastic. I have some Today in Chicago history I want to talk about as well. Shwani, I know you're a big history buff. I heard you on with Dave Plyer again.
Yeah.
Double Dave in it here on the weekends.
So you got some Chicago history coming up?
Yeah, I have that. And then we are celebrating America's 250th birthday this 4th of July. And I can't believe 4th of July is next week already.
I know.
I mean,
actually, the actual date is Saturday, coming up Saturday. The holiday is a Friday.
Oh, okay.
The recognized holiday.
Well, I can't. I just remember starting the Spirit of America, which you can find at WGNRadio.com. All the shows are featuring ways to memorialize and commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. Again, Spirit of America at WGNRadio.com. And we started this on Memorial Day, and we're going to do this once a week or so until the 4th of July. Like, where did the time go between Memorial Day and the 4th of July? It feels like we've just been doing it 2 weeks.
I'm still trying to get my head around the fact that I vividly remember the 200th birthday, the bicentennial in 1976. That was 50 years ago. Yikes.
I kind of sort of remember that. I remember there was a lot of red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a little bit more. So if that was the bicentennial, what is this? The bi...
There is a name for it, and I don't
I can't think
of it offhand.
I'll find it.
Sesquicentennial is 150.
Oh.
Sesquicentennial, 150. But there's got to be a name for 250.
Is this Latin?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. I will find out. I will call my son Michael, who took Latin. I don't know why, but he did in college and in high school. We are going to do some news. We're going to have Shwani's far-flung forecast coming up, and then we will do Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner. If you have any questions for Dr. Santina Wheat, 312-981-7200. It's Sunday morning right here on WGN. Time for Shwani's far-flung forecast.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We head to Virginia today, in a very beautiful part of Virginia, to a town named Orange, Virginia. I don't know why they call it Orange, but I can tell you that it's a very beautiful place to be. A 4,800 population, and near Charlottesville, Virginia, putting it about two and a half hours west-southwest of Washington, D.C. It goes back to the mid-1700s, and we mention Orange, Virginia, because it is very close to the estate of James Madison, who was our fourth president, and lived in an estate called Montpelier, Virginia. He was born near there in 1751, but died on this date, June 28, 1836, at Montpelier in his estate. This is a beautiful place to visit. I've spent time out there with my girlfriend, Gilda, and it is a wonderful place to be. It's not all that far from Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home, and I do recommend a visit. James Madison, dying on this date, June 28, 1836. He was not only our fourth president, but was instrumental in writing the Bill of Rights and instrumental in getting the Constitution passed and into law. And Orange, Virginia now has, temperature-wise, they have 73 degrees. But they're going to be warm into the week, too. 97 for a high there on Wednesday.
Okay, my little ADHD brain immediately went to what rhymes with orange. I listened to everything, but there is no word in the English language that rhymes with orange, month, silver, or purple.
Hmm.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it. That is such a, what are those called? Colloquialisms? Those little sayings? Because my mom used to say that all the time.
Yeah.
Montpelier. You did a
Montpelier.
Good, yeah.
Montpelier.
You did a
it
great
does
job.
Look French, though.
Yeah.
Montpelier. But it is Montpelier.
Well.
And Montpelier, Vermont's the capital of Vermont. So it's kind of the names coincide there.
Interesting. I love these little far-flung forecasts. Very fascinating.
Well, we're trying to, you know, be in keeping with the celebration of the 250th birthday of the country. Next week, we're going to have quite the celebration, so just be ready.
Okay, and 250 years, what is it, Eli? We looked it up.
Semi-quincentennial.
That's what it is, Schwani.
Semi-quincentennial. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
We have to memorize that now.
I already forgot it.
Semi-quincentennial.
That is, I just love this. What a country we live in, right? And we are going to do the Spirit of America a little bit later on this morning. And again, This Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat is coming up next. If you have any health questions, 312-981-7200. Good morning to you. Wendy Snyder here, This Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And joining us for our weekly health talk, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Delnor Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Wheat.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I think summer is officially here, and we've got this upcoming heat wave that it's going to be hot today, but then it's going to be really hot starting on Monday. I believe there's a heat advisory, and it's very important to stay hydrated. The Pride Parade is taking place today. My family's going to the Sox game. It, especially if you're drinking, you need to put more water in your system as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. People sometimes underestimate the importance of hydration, but if we don't stay hydrated, it actually can cause a whole bunch of health concerns, and so making sure you keep that water nearby is really important.
All right. So I've heard so many different amounts of water you should be drinking. Is the recommended dosage like about 12 cups a day? Is that normal, or is that for when it's really hot out?
You know, that's actually fairly reasonable for a typical day, and it becomes more when it's really hot out, when you're sick, when you're exercising or do things that cause you to sweat. So it really does fluctuate based on what you are doing day to day and how you're feeling. But starting there is fairly reasonable, particularly for men. Women, a little bit less.
Our phone knocked out. I hate when this happens. All right, we'll get Dr. Wheat back on the phone. Some other tips before the extreme heat begins, and I really will not complain because, you know what, it's summer and it's Chicago and we love summer, so we should look forward to it. Avoid sugary, caffeinated, and alcoholic drinks. And Dr. Wheat, that's something that we mentioned. Avoid sugary, caffeinated, and alcoholic drinks. But sometimes you are going to have those. Perhaps you should alternate those between maybe have a beer at the Sox game, but then have a water before your next one. Is that a good policy?
That absolutely is a great policy, and I recommend that even when it's not hot outside. I do recommend that you have the water in between. It helps you stay hydrated throughout that.
And
maybe two when it's this hot.
Yeah, and if you don't have air conditioning, I am so sorry. I can't even imagine that. There are cooling centers around. There are certain medications that make you more prone to feeling the heat. I was reading this the other day. One of them is an anti-anxiety medication, which I'm on, Zoloft, and another one is ADHD medications, which I'm also on, Vyvanse, and I feel like I'm always hot. Are there medications that make you feel heat more than regular?
I mean, there's some medications that change how you react to the body. It can cause you to have heat intolerance. It can cause you to sweat more and just change how you interact because they change your nervous system a little bit. And so yes, and they can also cause dehydration. So it's extra.
Oh, my gosh. You know, WGN Radio has got to start making payments on their phone bill because this happens so much. There are certain medications that do cause you to feel heat more. Also, I'm past my hot flashes, I think. I don't know if I should get so specific because I'm not the doctor, but we're getting Dr. Wheat back on the line. There are hot flashes that women experience during menopause, but hot flashes, I seem to be more hot flashy during perimenopause. Is that something that, hot flashes
happen? Absolutely, it can. Everybody responds a little bit differently as their hormones are changing. And so as your body settles during menopause, actually, usually those hot flashes can start to go away. And so as people are experiencing perimenopause and they're shifting, that absolutely can feel worse than it does after you're fully done.
All right. Well, I'm thankful that that's not happening. And can I just ask you a question? There are certain medications that you're not supposed to take with grapefruit juice. It's this weird rebellious thing I have, Dr. Wheat. When someone tells me I can't have something, all I want now is grapefruit juice.
Totally understand. Grapefruit juice has this chemical that revs up the liver, basically, or interferes with the liver and how it clears medication. And so grapefruit juice actually makes certain medications stay at higher levels in your body, which can be dangerous. That doesn't mean you have to avoid grapefruits or grapefruit juice altogether. You just need to make sure you're taking it away from your medication.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Because I'm taking a statin medication, and I think, probably 80% of the population is taking it as well. Is that one of the most common drugs prescribed these days, would you say?
It absolutely feels that way, especially for adults over 40. I would say most of my patients are on one, absolutely. And that is one of the ones that is affected by this processing place in the liver. And so what it does, if you have grapefruit juice, it increases the amount of statin that's in your body, which can be dangerous. And so we can either lower the amount of statin that you're taking or separate out when you're taking the juice with the medication.
All right. Well, I didn't know that I could have some later in the day, so I will now have some grapefruit juice. And Dr. Wheat, now that I can have it, I probably don't want it. Isn't that how things
work?
I know. All right. A quick question from the text line. When keeping hydrated, does the kind of water make a difference? Like, does it have to be purified opposed to spring water? Could it be tap water? I think it's any water, right?
It really is any water, but I would say it's important to remember that it shouldn't only be water if you're doing something that requires you to sweat a whole lot. So if you're running in this heat, for example, then you're going to want to replace with some electrolytes too, or some food along with it. But any water that you like is just fine. And if you don't like the taste of water, sometimes putting a little piece of fruit in it or something can help you drink that water.
I find it more appealing if you squeeze a little lemon and throw the lemon in there. It just makes it taste fresher. And a lot of people put cucumbers in their water.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for you,
too. Yeah, those are great options for the freshness taste.
Dr. Santina Wheat is with us, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. And if you have a medical question, 312-981-7200. We'll continue after these. Wendy Snyder with you on a Sunday morning, along with Dr. Santina Wheat. She's the program director at McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. And I came across this article, and I am shocked. Some things you should never lie about at the doctor's office. I have never lied to my doctor because they are there to help you, and I feel like they need to have every ounce of information. Do people really lie to their doctors?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. I wish everyone had your perspective. We really just need the information to be helpful. But I do think that sometimes people are embarrassed or don't want to share certain information. But we really will not hold it against you. We're just there to help you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because every time you, like, I have a physical coming up on Tuesday. I can't wait. And, you know, they say, how many drinks do you have a week? And it's like, I don't know. I can't count that high. Kidding. But, you know, do you smoke pot? No, I don't anymore. Do you smoke cigarettes? No, I quit 6 years ago. I mean, but if I did smoke pot, I would say it because I think they need to know all this stuff.
Absolutely. It sort of like the grapefruit juice, even. It impacts the medications we're able to give you and when we're looking for certain things, how we treat you. So it is very helpful when you are as honest with us as you can be and know that we are a place really to not judge you, but to just help let you live your healthiest life.
And in this article I came across, one of them, there are some things you should never lie to your doctor about. Your lifestyle habits are one of them. Around 20 to 25% of adults have lied to their doctors about their unhealthy diet or lack of exercise. I mean, I'm sorry, but can't you tell by looking at people that they probably don't eat well or exercise?
Yes. And also, it means that we're more likely to give you medications that you don't need when you're not honest with us. And so it's helpful to have a good place to start because we're always going to want to start with the conservative things and help you get to your healthiest place.
And so just tell the truth to your doctor. Hopefully you have a great relationship with your doctor, but they're not going to judge you. They're going to help you. So you need to talk about over-the-counter medications you take, any supplements. That can interfere with medication as well, right?
That's absolutely right. And I definitely had this happen where patients feel worried to tell me about supplements because it's not something that I recommended, but it can interfere with other medications. So it is really, really important to be truthful about those things so we can make sure that we're not going to give something to you that will harm you based on other things that might be happening.
And I am a big proponent of asking for help if you need help. And your mental health is very important. And if your doctor asks you how you're feeling, if you're feeling a little depressed, if you're feeling anxious about things, bring that up to them, because if it's not something they can handle themselves, they can direct you to a professional who can help. Would you agree with that as well?
That is absolutely right. And I think that people are sometimes worried to tell us the truth because of how we will respond or what our treatment recommendations will be. And we will always give you a list of options and you can choose the one that works the best for you. But yes, please be honest about these. It only allows us to help you more.
Okay. And Charlotte's on the line. She has a question for you. We're talking about this heat wave that is going to kick off tomorrow. It's going to be hot today, but starting tomorrow, it's going to get really hot. Charlotte, you had a question about hydration?
Yes. I've read that when you drink milk, it stays in your body longer and helps hydration. When I drink water, it just goes through me like crazy. And the milk, I don't have to go to the bathroom quite as often. And is this true? Would drinking a lot of milk help hydration?
You know, that is one that I have never heard before. That is one I'll have to look up. Any fluids really can be helpful for hydration, and I would choose milk over a sugary drink. But just remembering that milk has calories too, so I would just be paying attention to that if you're someone that has to watch calories. But milk is absolutely reasonable to be drinking, too.
I read this in a dentist. A local dentist has a column every week in our local paper, and he had that in his article one time. And ever since then, I wondered if it was true. And my daughter says that some of the race car drivers, they drink milk to stay hydrated. And I just wondered if there was really any truth in it.
Are you going to be listening next week, Charlotte? I think Dr. Weed is curious about this and may do a little research.
I'll look it up.
We'll
bring it
I'll
up.
I'll make a note to tune in. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for this nice program. It's really good to hear experts. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Oh, Charlotte, thank you so much for calling. See, I love callers like that. I like to help people. Someone has texted in, and way before you were even on, question for Dr. Wheat. I would like to lose 20 pounds. I'm looking for both nutrition and exercise advice. Is there one kind of medical professional that deals with both? I'm not interested in GLP-1 drugs. Who would you recommend this listener, 847, to go meet with?
I would start with the dietitian. They're going to have great recommendations for nutrition advice, or your friendly family doctor like me will give you general recommendations for nutrition and exercise, but you may need to go to somebody specific to help narrow down your specific lifestyle and how the best nutrition is for you.
So ask your general doctor, listener, or how do you even find like a dietitian or something like that, a nutritionist?
Well, your doctor can refer you to one, but I've also started to see some insurance companies offering them. So sometimes you can reach out to your insurance to see if they have a list that they will help pay for so that you can get this advice and help you live a healthy life. I think some companies are realizing that healthy eating is the first step to helping prevent lots of things. And so it's a great option when you have access to it.
And what is all the rage with protein now? Like, honestly, weightlifters used to do all the protein powder, and now you watch TikTok videos and everyone under the sun is adding cottage cheese to everything they have because protein, protein, protein. I know it's important for building muscle, but why is everybody pushing the protein?
It's not only important for building muscle, but it also actually helps you stay fuller longer than some of the other options. And many people have sort of moved towards a carbohydrate-heavy diet, which does not allow you to stay full quite as long. So having the protein can keep you full and make sure that you have the energy that you need. Don't get me wrong, I don't think you should have a only protein diet. I want you to have a balanced diet. And then as more people are using medications that can impact your protein, making sure that people particularly who are on GLP-1s are protein forward can be really helpful.
Okay, and what's going on with measles lately? Because I know that measles have been showing up in many places, and I read something about a case of measles at O'Hare. Is this true?
This is true. I actually was with my family at O'Hare when I had read that story. But the measles did come through from somebody on an international flight. And so there were some people that were in a terminal. It's been about a week and a half at this point that could have been exposed. It's just measles is back. And so we do need to be cautious. I encourage everybody to make sure that they are vaccinated, to check in with their doctor to see if they need vaccines or if they're considered immune, because it is something that can cause people to be really ill and cause some serious complications.
Well, during my physical on Tuesday, I will ask, I had the measles, though, but I will ask my doctor his recommendation. And then one final text before I let you go. 815 said, speaking of protein, I just put a slice of bacon in my Bloody Mary. Is that okay? I think it is okay.
I guess that's balanced.
Put an olive in there, too, and some pickle juice. That'll make it better. Dr. Wheat, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful week.
It's Sunday morning, and we are celebrating the spirit of America here at WGN Radio. It's America's 250th birthday. I've been sharing some of the iconic brands that have been around almost as long as this U.S. of A. The Campbell Soup Company, that's what we're going to talk about today. Soup and sandwich, you know, the first thing I think of is always the tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. And, yeah, that's good. But, I like some stuff in my soup. So we're going to talk about the Campbell Soup Company, headquartered in Camden, New Jersey. It's a prominent U.S. food manufacturer. It got its start in 1869. That's a long time ago. By Joseph Campbell, a wholesale fruit and vegetable vendor, and Abraham Anderson, who was a commercial canner and packer. In 1895, the first jar of ready-to-eat soup, beefsteak tomato, was introduced. I did not know, first of all, that it started in a jar and that a tomato soup was their very first one. New Jersey beefsteak tomatoes had been a signature product for over 25 years, featured prominently on the labels, and was the first trademark. A couple years later, in 1897, Dr. John Dorrance, Arthur's nephew, invented the process of condensing soup, leading to smaller packaging, cans. The invention makes soups more affordable for families while preserving the quality of the ingredients. In 1898, the first red and white soup can label debuted after a company executive attends the annual Cornell Penn football game and was impressed by Cornell's new red and white uniforms. Isn't that an interesting little fun fact about Campbell's soup? In 1900, the company won a bronze medal for product excellence at the Paris Exposition. That medallion is added to the can label, where it still appears to this day. I always wondered what that little medal was. In 1904, Campbell Kids are born when a Philadelphia artist, Grace Dayton, sketches them for a series of streetcar advertisements. Later, the Campbell Kids would be portrayed playing many roles, including farmers, army doctors during World War I, and athletes training for the Winter Olympics. Do we have the Campbell's Kids? Can I hear a little Campbell's Kids for you? Shwani, I think you and I sang it better in the producer's booth earlier
Definitely.
This morning.
That was done over the phone, wasn't it?
I don't know what that was.
You know, in a long distance line from 1958.
Yes.
It was as high quality as I could find on short notice.
No, that's not your fault, Eli.
No, it's not your fault, no.
All right, the next year, in 1905, the Campbell's Soup Company's first national ad campaign debuted in magazines like Good Housekeeping. In 1915, the Campbell's Company acquired Franco-American Food Company, founded in 1886, and the makers of condensed soup and canned pasta. This is their first acquisition, the first of many to come. In 1931, Campbell started radio advertising with its iconic, mm-mm, good. Come on, Shwani, we can do it better. Mm-mm, good. Mm-mm, good.
That's what Campbell's soups are. Mm-mm, good.
In 1934, they introduced Campbell's noodle with chicken and cream of mushroom soups. Noodle with chicken, of course, became chicken noodle after a radio announcer misread an ad for the soup, and then the name stuck. I love this part of the story. I wish that was me that read something wrong and then changed history. In 1941, Campbell's Test Kitchens opened, with professionally trained home economists developing recipes using the condensed soups, many of which would become classics. Of course, you know the most popular one. Well, I'll get to that. Today, you can find a lot of these recipes and more that have been added since online at Campbell's.com. In 1948, the company acquired V8. Do you remember that tagline, Shwani?
Wow. I could have had a V8.
Yep. And that was, V8 was founded in 1933 by W.G. Peacock in Evanston, Illinois. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that, no.
V8 is the leading vegetable juice in the United States. In 1951, Campbell's first television commercial premiered. The company goes on to sponsor highly rated shows, including Lassie and Peter Pan. I'm sorry.
I remember those commercials on Lassie.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. Yeah. Lassie, come home. Remind me to tell you a Lassie story.
Okay.
Later on today. I've done a lot of Campbell's history, but I'm fascinated by most of this. In 1955... Campbell's home economist, Dorcas Riley, created the iconic green bean casserole recipe. Every Thanksgiving, this recipe is viewed 4 million times on their website. That contains cream of mushroom soup, by the way. That same year, they acquired C.A. Swanson & Sons. This major acquisition pushed Campbell's into the frozen food market and provided them with Swanson's highly successful and popular TV dinners. I loved the fried chicken one and the turkey with stuffing. In 1961, the company acquired Pepperidge Farm. 1962, Pepperidge Farm Goldfish debuted, and I have the first five flavors for you. Lightly salted, which is the original, cheese, pizza, barbecue, and smoky. Those were the flavors of the Goldfish.
I just remember the cheese ones.
Yeah, I think I remember the pizza ones.
Do you?
Yeah. That same year, 1962, artist Andy Warhol debuted Campbell's soup cans paintings at the Ferris Art Gallery in Los Angeles. That is iconic.
It is.
Of the repeated Campbell's soup cans. In 1965, SpaghettiOs debuted as the greatest invention since the napkin.
I love SpaghettiOs.
Do you remember the jingle?
Sorta. Go ahead.
The neat new spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
SpaghettiOs. Oh, yeah. All right, who said that? Jack, you said you love SpaghettiOs. Original varieties were Original, Frank's, and Little Meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Little Meatballs are the best.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And what's so good about SpaghettiOs is it's tomato sauce, but it almost is like there's a hint of cheese somewhere in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tangy.
It's just top tier all around.
You're making this sound like a wine tasting. Just
I know.
A hint of
I
cheese.
Know.
I don't hear you, Jack.
I just ate them. I don't know it.
All right. That's 1965. Wow. In 1970, Campbell's launched Chunky Soup, their first product geared specifically toward men. In 1997, Chunky Soup became the official soup sponsor of the NFL. There's so many fun facts in here. 1988, Goldfish crackers blast into space on board the space shuttle Discovery. I didn't know that. In 1990, the 20 billionth can of Campbell's condensed tomato soup is made.
20 billion.
Yep.
20 billion.
1991, Campbell's Healthy Request soups are introduced, providing a heart healthy and convenient soup option. 2018, Campbell's acquired Snyder's and Lance of Charlotte, North Carolina, a leading snack company with well-known brands like Snyder's of Hanover, Kettle Brand, Cape Cod Chips. Campbell's owns everything.
What's their stock doing these days?
I failed to put that in here, but it's doing very well. In 2024, the company started to show a broader focus on snacks and meals alongside its iconic soup portfolio. So they officially rebranded to the Campbell's Company. They dropped the soup. And today, headquartered in the same New Jersey city where it was born, the Campbell's Company operates globally as a massive player in the consumer staples industry, generating over $9 billion in annual sales.
So they're still in Camden, New Jersey?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Very fascinating, and we're going to take a quick break, and then I would like to know your favorite Campbell's soup flavor, because I have one. 312-981-7200. It's the Spirit of America. You can find it at WGNradio.com. Soup is good food. I remember that as well. Wendy Snyder here. We're celebrating the Spirit of America on what will be USA's 250th birthday on the 4th of July. And I am running through a bunch of the iconic foods that have been around nearly as long as America. And we were doing Campbell's soup today. Somebody said, raised right here, right near Camden, New Jersey. Jersey tomatoes are the best. You can smell Campbell's for miles. Huh.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, given the amount of food processing that goes on there.
Yeah.
Definitely be able to smell that.
What else? On the south side of Chicago, there was a Campbell's canning factory, says 847. My cheap uncle would go there and buy unlabeled cans of soup that lost their label in the production line. He had no idea what was in them, but they were cheap. That is a little soup surprise. That would be fun, opening it up and seeing what's in it. I don't think there's one Campbell's soup flavor that I wouldn't enjoy getting. I mean, cream of celery would be a little boring, but I would still eat it. I like chicken gumbo. That is my one of my favorite Campbell's soup flavor. There's okra in it. It's like some stewed tomatoes, some rice. It's kind of a little jambalaya-fied soup, a little bit. Chicken gumbo, very good. And home-style chicken noodle is the best. They have little thin noodles as opposed to the big, thick noodles that are in its original chicken noodle soup. Do you have a favorite flavor or one, Dave Schwann?
I do, and I just have to be partial to good old tomato soup from Campbell's. And I think it's largely because when I was a kid, my mom would make these great tuna fish sandwiches, and we'd have a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup with it. It was a perfect match. And I still can almost taste it today yet.
See that? I'm not a big tuna fan, and I bet it was really good dipped in the
delicious
soup.
Delicious, yeah. And some potato chips, maybe? Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And there were two kinds of tomato soup. There was the original Campbell's tomato soup, and then they made tomato bisque. And that is the one I loved. I don't think they make that anymore. And that was just a little bit thicker. You'd mix instead of a can of water, we would mix milk into it. Mm-hmm. And there were like chunky pieces of tomato, almost like a stewed tomato. And I don't know if... Am I the only one that remembers the tomato bisque? Because that was the best.
From Campbell's?
Yeah.
From Campbell's?
Yep,
I don't.
They had tomato
soup. I love the tomato bisque or a lobster bisque, but boy, is there a lot of salt in those. The sodium content is really high, but that's what makes them good.
French onion, 219 says French onion is my favorite. I could see it being good, but if you don't have the melted Gruyere and crouton on top of it, then, you know, you can't call it French onion soup, can you? You need all the ooey gooey
yummy
stuff. You need
the other stuff with it. And the toasted bread with it.
Yeah, the giant.
The square of bread that gets all soaked.
Yeah. Oh, now I want that too. This is what we do to ourselves every Sunday.
I know.
219, in addition to French onion, also is mentioning pepper pot. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's in pepper pot soup. I've heard of it, but now I need to know what's in it. A lot of these soups you can use in recipes. Cream of chicken I use in so many different things I make. And that's pretty good on its own. You can add some little orzo in it. I'm trying to look up pepper pot soup. It seems that it's a spicy. I know the name would imply that it's spicy. Campbell's pepper pot soup, a discontinued classic known for its hearty Philadelphia-style recipe featuring beef tripe. Okay, I'm out. And pork as its core proteins. The rich, spicy broth was thickened with vegetables and uniquely seasoned with pungent herbs. Isn't tripe the intestines or something like
that? It's the stomach lining, I think. You don't want to go there.
I don't remember the stomach lining flavor of Campbell's soup. And I'm sorry, I'm going to look up one more thing real quickly because I need to know about this tomato bisque soup because I think I'm the only one who remembers it. A richer, creamier twist on their classic tomato soup. Crafted with fresh, farm-fresh cream, tomato pieces, and a hint of butter. I guess it's still out there. It doesn't say it's discontinued. So, to prepare the condensed soup, mix with one can of water or milk for a richer taste. So, Schwanee, if you're out and about, look for the Campbell's tomato bisque soup. It says it's still around.
I'm going to look for that.
It's really delicious. And then what other? Mushroom soup for cooking. Yes, cream of mushroom, which I was shocked to hear that was one of its original flavors, along with the noodle chicken, or noodle with chicken, and then it switched to chicken noodle because a radio broadcaster messed it up. As a child, it was a combo of grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. To this day, I have a grilled cheese sandwich without the soup. And something is missing, and it's just not as good. So many fancy restaurants do that as an appetizer now, where they will make like a good sourdough grilled cheese and then have like a little tiny cup of tomato soup for you to dip it in. Chicken and Stars, that was good too. 312 says, my favorite Campbell's soup was tomato and rice. They stopped,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, they stopped making it. I emailed Campbell's, and they said it was being phased out in certain markets.
Didn't they make an alphabet soup, too?
Yes.
For kids? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Jack had alphabet soup.
And SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
That's how you grow up right there.
Honestly, if you came home from lunch in elementary school, that's what you had a lot of the times.
Yeah.
It was a hot meal.
Exactly.
From a can. He's our television man. Alex Zalbin joins us weekly to talk TV. I'm Wendy Snyder, and Alex is the host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. And how are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm great, but I have a question for you, and it's an important one. I absolutely loved The Bear, and you gave us a little sneak, kind of a little clue that it is a love letter to Chicago, and specifically WGN, and here's what I want to tell you. With things streaming and all things dropping at once, how do we go about talking about these things when perhaps not everyone has seen the entire season yet?
Well, that is a great question, Wendy, and I think one that plagues me on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, as sometimes, frankly, and this is totally true, sometimes I will get people angry at me at spoilers for things that happened 2-3 years ago because they just haven't seen them yet. So, unfortunately, the way that my job works as a entertainment journalist, if something happens, I treat it as news. You know, if something happened to the government, you wouldn't say, well, wait until everybody finds out and then we'll talk about it. You just got to talk about it. But like you're getting at, you got to be respectful of these things as well. It's obviously a little trickier on the radio versus person to person, because person to person, you could say, have you seen it yet? Do you mind spoilers? You can ask those questions. Obviously, we can't ask the listeners that. So I think the way that we talk about things here, just generally the feeling of something, is probably the better way to go, particularly the week afterwards, because, yeah, there is some big fun stuff that went down that we could potentially talk about here. But I think with The Bear, I'm definitely getting the sense a lot of people didn't know the final season dropped on Hulu and are slowly getting caught up to that fact. So it may take a little while, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw some things out there because okay. I can't remember how many episodes are in this final season. Are there 8?
There are 8 episodes. It's a little shorter than previous seasons, which had 10.
Yeah, and each episode's pretty short, like half hour-ish. Mm-hmm.
Yes, with the exception of the last two. They're all about 20, under 30 minutes. Then the last two go, I believe, 52 minutes. And the finale is about a little over an hour.
All right. Well, here is the dilemma. I talked to someone last night, I think. Oh, it was. It was last night. And he was looking so forward to seeing the final season series finale of The Bear. And I said, have you seen Gary yet? And he goes, what's Gary? Honestly, Alex, you're the only one that I heard about that from, or I wouldn't have known. So listeners, if you have not seen the last season of The Bear yet, search Gary, G-A-R-Y, 1 R for Gary, Indiana. Watch that before you watch the final season of The Bear. Right? How come you're the only one that told us?
I don't think they did this originally, but on Hulu before the final season, season 5 dropped this past week, they added a little tab, at least on the desktop version, that says Gary, which is weird if you don't know what they're talking about, because you're like, oh, there's a guy named Gary. They added a tab for him. That's nice. But it is, in fact, a bonus episode that takes place between kind of season 4 and 5, which definitely really very heavily informs Evan Moss Bachrach's character, Richie, in particular, through the final season. So it's kind of crucial to watch, even though it seemed like a just interesting one-off at first.
And I'm halfway through, so I haven't finished the season yet. Part of me doesn't want to because I don't want it to be over. You know, like when you're reading a great book, you don't want to get to the end of it because then it's going to be gone.
That's something that you get as a big feeling, without getting into these spoilers, about the final season is Christopher Storer, who created the show, directed almost every episode in the final season, wrote a bunch of them as well, clearly loves these characters, and these people, these actors, love playing these characters. And while the first 7 episodes are really a complete story in and of themselves, and I thought they were absolutely wonderful, the final episode, you can just feel, it's just this lovely goodbye to everybody that you spent 5 seasons with, plus the Gary episode so far. And it's nice. You know, they've talked about they might want to come back at some point very far in the future and do some sort of reunion if they ever have another idea. So it's not like Chicago explodes and that's the end of the pair. You know, characters die. It's not that sort of show. So they could definitely come back at some point. But it really, really wraps things up very nicely and spends time with these characters that we love, like you're saying.
I do love them all. And what I find so incredible is this was shot how long ago?
About a year ago. Actually, I think they may have wrapped it earlier this year, if I remember. They wrote it last year, but I think they were filming until March. I could be wrong about that.
Okay, well, we're talking about the final season of The Bear, and I want to just say something that just worked so well is when I sat down to begin watching it on Thursday evening, we have had some pretty bad storms here in Chicago over the last few weeks, and when this final season starts, it's storming Norman out there. It's pretty bad. It's almost like, you know, it's real time of what's happening.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and they did actually film from January through March of this year. So if you folks have been having bad storms, that's certainly something that worked in there. And like we were talking about, it's a really Chicago show. They really use the area. They really love Chicago, and they love what Chicago is about. And even if you're New York-based like I am, you can still definitely feel that in every episode.
Well, and they're showing a lot of the weather forecasts at the beginning of the episode of The Bear. And like I said, it's storming on the TV. It's stormed here really badly over the last week or so. And there's WGN chief meteorologist Demetrius Ivory. He makes a little cameo. And he's on the screen, and there's some other meteorologists from other stations as well. But then, and I haven't gotten to this yet, and it's not really a spoiler because this person spoiled it himself on his Facebook page, and we're going to talk to him at 11 o'clock because I just love him so much. But you can say it. Go ahead, Alex.
Tom Skilling is on the show, WGN meteorologist legend Tom Skilling. I was so delighted. I cannot wait to talk to you about this, Wendy, when I saw it, because I watched the screeners a couple of weeks back, and I was like, well, this is great. This is what a wonderful little, it's a little more than a cameo, but it's such a delight.
Yeah, and I'm not going to reveal, I got it spoiled for me because I haven't seen that part of it yet. It's not a spoiler. It's a proud moment, and we're going to talk to Tom because it just makes me so happy because Tom Skilling is, everybody loves Tom, and Tom has retired, and to be in the final season is just par for the course. I just adore it. So
it's great, and I think, if I remember correctly, they referenced him in a earlier season, so whether they were planning on getting him in or not in this final season, it really, among many other things they're doing, just sort of wraps neat little bows on things that happened earlier in seasons of The Bear. So, yeah, it's really delightful to see him there.
I can't wait to talk to him and congratulate him. So, yeah, because you gave the tease, and I almost, like, called you at home and said, Alex, just tell me. Tell me what it is. But then, you know, Tom posted something on his Facebook page. This is actually late last night I was looking at it, and I'm like, yay! And so very exciting. Final season of The Bear. Fingers crossed for something to come out. I don't know how it ends, so I don't know what to predict, but maybe they'll open, I don't know, a food truck somewhere.
Pizza. They pivot to pizza.
Yeah.
Is what happens.
That would be great.
That's not a spoiler. They don't do that.
Of course they don't. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Alex Zalbin joins us weekly. We talk TV. He's an entertainment journalist and host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. You can find it at comicbookclublive.com. 312-981-7200. Any shows you want to ask Alex about, feel free at 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Talk to me about X-Men 97, Alex.
Sure, that was the theme from X-Men, the animated series, which is a classic animated series that rolled out on Fox Kids from 1992 through 1997. And then 2 years ago, Disney Plus brought it back as a streaming series called X-Men 97. Still set in the 90s, used the same voice actors for the most part, and updated the animation style a little bit to feel a little more anime. And now, after a little bit of a delay, it is back for a second season on Disney Plus. It's based on the Marvel comic books about the mutants. It has nothing to do with the movies that star Hugh Jackman or anything like that. But there were a bunch of cliffhangers at the end of the first season that sent fans absolutely insane. And now they'll finally be picking up with that with 9 new episodes, 3 of which are going to be dropping on Disney Plus on July 1st. So if you're an X-Men fan or an animation fan, check that out. I'll also mention, if you're superhero adverse, as I think a lot of people are these days, it has nothing to do with the MCU or any of the movies or other TV shows. It's its own animated thing, and it's an absolute blast. I highly recommend, if you're have any interest in X-Men or the movies, check out the TV show, watch the first season, get caught up before season 2, because it's a lot of fun.
Okay, speaking of animation, a lot of people were into Adventure Time. Is that back?
Kind of. There is a new show called Adventure Time Side Quest, which is very similar to what we were talking about with regular show The Lost Tapes last week, where Adventure Time, the TV show, ran for, I think, 8 years on Cartoon Network, streamed on HBO Max, finished up its run, finished up its story, was very heavily serialized. And now we're getting this new show called Adventure Time Side Quest, which is going to be on Disney Plus and Hulu. There are actually, I believe, 20 episodes that are going to be premiering tomorrow on the streaming service. And it's a new animation style, and it takes place during earlier seasons. So it's not serialized. It's done in one adventures about this adventuring kid named Finn the Human and his magical dog who can stretch called Jake the Dog. They go on adventures in the land of Ooh. They're wacky. They're weird. And if you're missing Adventure Time, this is going to be a bunch of those classic adventures. And again, all coming out tomorrow, not on HBO Max, but actually on Disney Plus and Hulu.
All right. Well, that's worth checking out. Legally Blonde. What a great movie with Reese Witherspoon. And now there's a prequel coming our way.
All those questions you had at the beginning of Legally Blonde, the movie, are finally going to be answered by Elle, the prequel series that is going to be debuting July 1st on Prime Video. This actually goes to Reese Witherspoon as one of the producers. She's not going to be starring in it because it takes place back in high school, focusing on Elle Woods before she goes to college, before she goes to Harvard Law or anything like that. So who knows what's going to happen? She was apparently very inspired. Reese Witherspoon was inspired by Wednesday, the Wednesday Addams show that has been a huge hit on Netflix. Probably not quite as dark, probably the tonal opposite, but she saw that be a hit and is going to do this. The one little sad note that I'll throw in here is James Van Der Beek from Dawson's Creek, who sadly passed away rather suddenly earlier this year. One of his final roles is a recurring role on this series. Aww. He is great, or was great, in everything. So it'll be wonderful and really poignant and sad to see him again in Elle, which, again, is debuting on July 1st in full on Prime Video.
I bet that's cute, and I might watch it now just because of James Van Der Beek. See his last work. That is sad.
Yeah, very sad. He does have another movie that I believe is coming out later this year, but at the same time, such a great TV actor, so iconic, very much missed.
Yeah, and way too young. All right, voicemails for Isabel. This sounds cute, too.
Yeah, I'm getting caught up late with this one. I didn't know about it initially. It came out back on June 19th, so a while ago on Netflix, but it's really gaining steam. It was the number one movie for the past week. It is a rom-dramedy, I guess is the best way of putting it. You know, there's a fair amount of comedy, but it's pretty dramatic as well. It stars Zoe Deutsch, who is a really great under-the-radar rom-com star, as well as Nick Robinson, who people may know from Love, Simon, and others. And the basic pitch for it, at least the way I've been describing to people, is it's essentially like Fault in Our Stars meets Sleepless in Seattle. So this woman, her sister dies. She's very sad about it. She starts leaving her voicemails, only she doesn't know the number has been changed to this other guy in her hometown who has a hard time making commitment. And he slowly falls in love with her through these voicemails she's leaving for her sister, Isabel. So there's the poignant, sad part, but it's also very funny. The romance is great. The soundtrack is great. I, like many other people, instantly fell in love with it. So if you want to check it out, Voicemails for Isabel, it's streaming on Netflix right now.
That sounds really sweet. I lost a cousin, my cousin Susie. I was very close to her, and I have not removed her from my phone. But her phone has been disconnected, but every once in a while, I still text it. It just makes me feel better, so I completely get this.
Yeah, the movie deals with it. They don't make it into a joke or anything. They treat it in a really serious and poignant way, and I think, like you're saying, a lot of people in this age of cell phone technology, that is how they're figuring out how to deal with loss and how to grapple with it. So it has a really wonderful message at the same time as it's a really lovely rom-com.
I like that. I'll watch that. All right. I love Larry David. We briefly touched on his new series. Part of the production responsibility, Barack Obama, correct?
Yes, he was on Kraft Services. No, I'm kidding. He is one of the executive producers of this new show, which is called Life, Larry, and the Pursuit of Unhappiness. It's a sketch comedy show that's rolling out Fridays on HBO and HBO Max. The first episode debuted this past Friday. There'll be a new one on July 3rd. I got mixed reviews, though there are some big laughs here and there. You can definitely check it out. It has a ridiculous cast, like we talked about before. Samuel Jackson is the narrator. Jerry Seinfeld pops up on it. Vince Vaughn, Barack Obama is even on the show, as well as a million other stars. Lin-Manuel Miranda is on it. So it's pretty wild just in terms of, hey, I know that guy, even though seeing Larry David be cranky throughout history maybe doesn't quite work as well as you might expect.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I'm still going to watch it, but I have been hearing some very bad stuff, actually, about it, bad reviews. And I didn't mean production. I meant producing. I got my P words mixed up.
And I like the idea of Barack Obama standing there being like, does anybody need any cookies?
Yeah, that would be great. All right. And my son Dylan went to see Supergirl. He said it was pretty good. Your thoughts?
It is pretty good. That seems to generally be the reaction from everybody about it. It is in theaters now, and the movie is fine. That said, Millie Alcock, who came from House of the Dragon. She was on the first season of that and stars as Supergirl, is fantastic. So if nothing else, you've got a great central performance in a movie that doesn't quite stand up to her, which is unfortunate, but you're going to be seeing her again. She is in the Superman sequel, Man of Tomorrow, that is going to be premiering next year, next summer. So if you like her in the movie, there's more of her to come.
That's disappointing, because it looked like it was going to be great. Like, the trailer made it like, oh, that's so cute. And Supergirl is Superman's cousin? Is that the connection?
Yeah, she's Superman's cousin. She has a different origin. It's a little bit more of a tragic origin. And the movie is based on a phenomenal comic book called Superman, Woman of Tomorrow by Bilkis. Evely is the name of the artist who does gorgeous art. It was writer Tom King. So it almost should have been a slam dunk to get this movie to work. And instead, it just feels a little flat from the direction and from the music choices and everything else. But again, you know, as a showcase for Millie Alcock, who is a new star and clearly a big star, every single review agrees that she is great in it. So I think she's going to go on to do great things, even if the movie itself is not great. And honestly, as the box office receipts are coming in, not doing that great this weekend either.
All right. Less than a minute. And speaking of House of the Dragon, go ahead.
Sure. There's a new episode tonight on HBO and HBO Max at 9 p.m. I was okay with the premiere, which had a big battle, a lot of spectacle, but felt a little light on the character elements. Tonight's episode is phenomenal and one of my favorite episodes in the Game of Thrones franchise. It is absolutely thrilling, particularly in the second half an hour. So if you felt like me, a little eh about the premiere, do not miss episode 2 tonight. It is a barn burner, as they say.
All right, any messages you want me to tell Tom Skilling, because we're going to talk to him next?
Just, I hope he got to eat some of the food, and I hope it was delicious.
All right, well, thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Alex Zalbin, host and producer of the Comic Book Club podcast. You can find it at comicbookclublive.com. You know, I really love The Bear. And I'm watching the last season of The Bear, and I see a little cameo from WGN chief meteorologist Demetrius Ivory. I'm watching the show with my son Michael, and Michael says, "That's cool for Demetrius, but we need to see Tom Skilling." And lo and behold, Tom Skilling makes a cameo in the final season of The Bear. And joining us right now is the television star, Tom Skilling.
Wendy, I'll tell you, was that something or what? You know, I've got to tell you something. I was out in Hawaii. You know, I do this back and forth thing now in retirement, and still, Chicago's still home. But I was out there, and my roommate calls me and says, "Hey, they called from The Bear, and they were wondering if you were available to do a cameo. They'll fly you back to Chicago and back to Hawaii again." And I said, "Sure." You know, a couple years ago, I worked on the Nicolas Cage movie, The Weatherman, and that came about in the same sort of odd way. I was sitting in the weather office years ago, and this important-looking group came through the office and was asking about all the maps on the wall and so forth and why we had the equipment we did, where we did. And they left, and I didn't know who they were. And I said, "Who was that?" And they said, "Oh, it's a Paramount advance team for a movie they're going to do on a weatherman with Nicolas Cage." And another group came through a little later, and another group after that, finally with the director, Gore Verbinski. And so it was interesting. That came out of the blue. But the phone call to appear on The Bear came out of the blue, too. So I flew back to Chicago, and they have an amazing soundstage set up on the west side of the city where there are 7 Chicago-based productions underway. One of them is The Bear, which, of course, has been incredibly successful and you know, has quite a fan base. And I've been hearing about it for years. I'm always a little amazed, Wendy, that I'm asked to do things like this. And it's so fascinating to get into these productions and see how they do this. The work that is involved is absolutely amazing. So anyway, forgive me for talking
so
much. No! But I'll tell you, Wendy, it was amazing. And Christopher Storer, who is the creator of The Bear, you know, and a genius, was there, and as was the entire crew, the technical crew and the actors. And, you know, when you do these things, you have off time. You sit and wait for the filming of your segment to come up. And so I had a chance to talk with a lot of the actors, and I said to them, how do you get into this line of work? What was your career path? And a lot of these folks came from Second City, mm-hmm. and a lot of them, this being the fifth and final season of The Bear, I said, now what will you do at this point? Having been part of a incredible hit series like The Bear, you must be able to write your own ticket. Well, some are doing Broadway work.
Wow.
I guess they're going to do Dog Day Afternoon, a Broadway version of that. One of the actors was working on that. At any rate, everybody was warm and welcoming. And it's amazing. They built a kitchen on the set. And Christopher Storer's sister is the culinary genius behind, you know, all of the culinary work you see, because it's set in a restaurant here in Chicago. And, you know, they so accurately capture the tension and the pressure that's on these restaurant personnel to produce the beautiful meals that those of us who go to restaurants enjoy. So it was really fun to watch this whole thing take place.
Now, I'm not going to reveal exactly what happens, because this last final season just dropped on Thursday. So if listeners haven't seen it yet, I don't want to say exactly what happens with your cameo, but I did want to just commend you on this is so important, Tom, because this show was truly a love letter to Chicago, and to include you, it just makes it, you know, the best ever. I'm so happy.
You are so sweet. It really is. You know, we hear our city described as a war zone and all the rest of this stuff. And, you know, when you travel, people will say, what's it like living there? You know, they think we're all fighting each other. And all.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I walk along the lakefront here, and it's such a beautiful place. People are out barbecuing, and the Mariners are out on the lake, and people are playing soccer along the lakefront and swimming in the lake. It is anything but a war zone, and any program that puts across what really goes on in this city, which is pretty extraordinary, is such a joy. And it was such an honor to be asked to be part of this. But I don't think you're giving anything away if you explain, apparently, you know, what this cameo was all about, Wendy. What they do is they occasionally will have, I don't know, people with some notoriety come into the restaurant as part of the series. And apparently I'm considered something of a celebrity or something, and I was invited in. And, of course, the whole staff says, oh, Tom Skilling is here. And they're working extra hard to be sure that the meal is prepared. Do you know what's interesting is the fellow that I worked with, and apparently here's the scene. We walk into The Bear, this fella and I, they think is a restaurant critic.
Yeah.
When in fact, I guess in the series, he's really supposed to be my lawyer, and the two of us are walking in for dinner or something, but they think he's a restaurant critic and of course are very concerned about what his take is on the meal and all the rest. So we get really special treatment. And do you know they actually, as part of this series, prepare food? Christopher Storer's sister is a chef of the first order, and she prepares the food.
Oh.
And they actually lay real food in front of you, and we get a chance to eat it after we do our little bits. It is marvelous.
Oh.
And they build originally a full kitchen in this soundstage. That is where they shoot the restaurant, the in-restaurant scenes. And she was telling me that they found the actors responded better and got into the roles better when they could smell the food actually cooking. So they thought it would be a great idea to actually prepare the food on the set. And she has another kitchen off the soundstage where these marvelous dishes are produced. I mean, they're just incredible. They're delicious, and the care and all work that's gone into preparing them is something. So we sat there, and the fellow that I was working with, who was supposed to be my lawyer, had worked on the Nicolas Cage film years ago. He was an archery instructor and for Nicolas Cage as part of this Weatherman movie. So it was funny that the two of us, I had not worked with him on that particular movie, but we had worked on the Weatherman, and so we had that in common, and it was fun to talk to him. He would travel between Chicago and New York doing acting roles there. Nice guy, but anyway, Wendy, I'm talking too much.
No, you're not. We all love to listen to you talk, so go ahead.
Oh, gosh. At any rate, it was an experience, and the crew there and the people couldn't have been nicer. You go into, you know, they pick you up at home, drive me down to the soundstage, and you go into these little mobile vehicles. You have your own little dressing room in one, and makeup people in another, and I was told to bring two suits down. And then I put them on, and they take pictures of them, and they send them to somebody, maybe Christopher Storer, I don't know. Somebody looks at it and says, we want you to wear that suit. So I wore that one. And so they have a whole wardrobe department that is ready to dress you with whatever else they want you to be wearing. But turns out it was just the suit I brought. So the attention to detail on these things. And I found that on the Weatherman movie too, is just amazing. They brought two semis out on the Weatherman. They set up a whole canteen on the west end of WGN, our parking lot. And they had a wardrobe truck there too. And they fed everybody, the crew and all. And the same thing was true on the Bear. We would break, and there was food there. We were fed. Everybody who worked on the production, and you have, I don't know how many people are there. I have scores of people, technical people who run the audio and the cameras and all, because these cameras are amazing. They use for these programs and all.
Well,
so at any rate, it was fun. It was fun.
My heart smiled when I found out you were part of the series finale. I also know that Chris Witowski is, he plays Sugar's husband on The Bear. He was also behind Chicago Party Ant, and Diane had a huge crush on you. You know that. I know that you know.
And do you know, I didn't know anything about Chicago Party Animal. I was on the news set over at WGN, and Ben Bradley, anchor reporter extraordinaire, said, you know, you're a big character on Chicago Party Ant. And I said, what is Chicago Party Ant? And he said, well, it's an internet website and an animated cartoon feature that I guess Netflix had picked up.
Yeah.
And Chris, having grown up in the Fox Valley, which is where I spent a lot of my young years, had apparently done the Tom Skilling character as part of this whole thing. So he's such a nice guy.
He really is. And you looked great in cartoon form. But here's my question. I know you've probably heard this. I know you're retired and everything, so you have a little bit of time on your hands. The Chicago Bears are going to be featured in a Hallmark movie, and I'm wondering if you have any plans to make a cameo in that, because you should. Get your agent on this, Tom.
You know something, Wendy. I didn't know about that. Believe it. And, you know, it's funny, this retirement thing. I continue to work on pieces with WGN, science and weather-oriented pieces, having fun with that. And I'm working on a couple other little projects, too, and I'm doing some charity, some fundraising dinners that they bid out and so forth. So I'm keeping pretty busy. But, you know, don't have to punch the clock at a particular time, which is really nice to do things a little slower. And I have my Facebook page, and I follow the weather on that. And it's so I'm telling you, it's really great. But I didn't know anything about this. I have no nobody's reached out for anything else. So I that's very interesting.
Well, I hope to see you in that. How exciting was watching the volcano erupt in Hawaii? Is that Kilauea?
Yes, Kilauea. Very interesting. You know, there are a whole set of islands that are part of the Hawaiian Islands. And you know what? They'll put video of this lava flowing out of Kilauea. And Kilauea has erupted now. It just went through its 50th eruption.
Jeez.
Since December of 2024. But it has been erupting in one form or another since the 1800s. It's considered one of the world's most active volcanoes. And you know, the Hawaiian island chain is very interesting. A lot of the volcanoes occur around the edge of the plates on which the Pacific Ocean sits, or North America, or Asia, the Eurasian. But Hawaii is unique in that the volcano is occurring in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The Hawaiian Islands are the most distant island chain on the planet from a continental landmass. And therefore, when you visit the Hawaiian Islands, you're essentially driving on the top of volcanoes that reach way under the ocean. And there's no continental shelf around them. So when you go 5 miles off the Big Island, which is where I spent a lot of my time, the southernmost of the Hawaiian Islands, and that's where Kilauea is, the ocean depth goes to 5,000 feet, only 5 miles offshore. And if you go 12 miles offshore, the ocean is 13,000 or 15,000 feet or even deeper. There's no gradual shelf the way there is, you know, off Florida or the Gulf Coast or anything like that, California. So it's an interesting thing. And there's a weakness in the plate there that allows the volcanic activity to come up. And that's what's formed the Hawaiian Islands. And so Kilauea has been erupting. The big eruption was back in 2018, and this is where it set an 8-mile lava stream, 2,000-degree lava stream that was 8 miles long, into the Pacific Ocean. And that ruined, that took out homes, destroyed whole communities. But right now, it's in the bottom of a what they call a caldera. That's the landmass is sunk where all this lava is flowed out of it, and Kilauea sits in the bottom of this caldera now that is filling up with time, but erupting almost every 2 to 3 weeks. And it is a sight to see.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. You know, these lava spatters go 1,500 feet in the air. That would be farther than, the height of the Sears Tower or the Hancock Building. Imagine seeing lava shooting up in the air, as high as the Hancock Building or the Sears Tower. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we are, I just got an alert on my phone right now because I'm a bit of a weather nerd, Tom.
Yes.
There's an extreme heat warning. I just got an alert. So what do we need to know?
Well, this is quite interesting. Right now, tempering or blocking the real effect of the developing heat is the breeze off the lake, which continues another day. We had it yesterday. And it was beautiful. It's cool here. The water temperature is 64 degrees at the shoreline. So when the wind blows off that water, it kind of retards the heating that might otherwise occur. But what's going to happen is the winds are going to turn southwesterly. We're going to get a pretty good pressure gradient that will overcome any lake cooling. And we're going into full heat wave mode. Dew points are going to shoot up into the 70s. That's extremely humid air. And when you marry that with 90 degree plus temperatures, which we're going to do perhaps for 5 to 7 days in a row, you get heat indices that are off the charts. So this becomes dangerous heat. And we learned something about that in 1995 in this city. July 1995, we lost over 700 people to heat.
Yeah.
So the city takes this very seriously now. They open cooling centers. There's a real concerted effort to be sure that our elderly and people who live by themselves, that we look in on them and can get them somewhere cool so they're not sitting in these overheated apartments and suffering, medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is... Heat is not just, I think a lot of people, I remember when 1995 happened, we knew it was going to get hot, but we didn't know the point at which people died from this heat. We do now because that was looked into after all those surprise deaths in 1995. And so we take heat very seriously and realize that, it's prudent to, slow down a little bit in this heat. So, and we're going to have to do that. So tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there may be some thunderstorms late in the week. And if that's true, their outflow might temper the heat at certain points in those days. But until then, the atmosphere is capped. There won't be thunderstorms developing and to cool us down. And it's going to get really hot. We'll have 100 degree plus heat indices and thermometer readings in the 90s, married with 70 plus degree dew points, which is that real muggy air that it retards our body's ability to cool off.
Well, you need to run through the sprinkler with me. We have to make arrangements to run through the sprinkler.
Either that, Wendy, or perhaps you've been told, as I have been at times, to go jump in the lake. Yeah. That wouldn't be a bad way to... You know, to handle it.
So. Yes. Tom, I adore you. You know that. And
right back at you, Wendy Snyder, I'll tell you.
Thank you so much. I just was so pleased to see you being on the final season of The Bear, because you are Chicago to all of us.
Oh, gosh. I was so honored and didn't expect this at all. And they were so nice. Christopher Storer and the whole group. Thank you, Wendy. It's so good to talk to you.
You as well. Let's keep in touch, Tom, okay?
I will. And let's do that. You have a wonderful Sunday.
Hey there. It's Garden Girl with you, Wendy Snyder here. And if you have plant questions, indoor or outdoor plant questions, 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We have our show horticulturist Dan Costa on the air with us. You can find him at Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale, 5620 South Oak. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Wendy. Good to be with you.
All right. It is so hot out there, and I have noticed my perennials are looking fabulous. I have some Stella Doro daylilies that are really just pumping up that gold color. I have some Veronica in white, which is, everything's doing well. Is it because of the heat and the rain we've been having?
Well, they've loved all that rain that we've been having, and especially when there's a thunderstorm, because the lightning actually dissolves nitrogen that's in the air into the rainwater. So it's like it's actually raining fertilizer.
Oh, well, yeah, there have been a lot of storms. So that is why everything's doing so well this year. Someone has texted in before we even got you on the air, and they were asking about their Rose of Sharon, and it hasn't bloomed yet, nor has mine. They start blooming a little bit later in the season, right?
Yeah, it's a little too early for that to be flowering. Pretty soon, but maybe in a couple of weeks yet.
All right. And so perennials, I've tried the lavender again this year, Dan. For some reason, every year I kill it. I put some potting soil in the hole to give it some good soil. I planted it. I didn't overwater it. It's in a super sunny spot. And if I kill it this year, I just guess I can't ever have lavender. What's the secret?
Three words: sunny, hot, and dry. That's what they like. So the most sun you can give it, they've got to love this week with the hot weather coming. And they like to get dry between watering. So with all the rain we've been having, the hot weather is going to dry that soil out, and they're going to be a little happier about that. That's not a plant that likes a lot of water, and it doesn't want water-retentive soil.
So when I go out in the yard and put a little cocktail in my drink holder, that's a stake that I stick in the ground, and turn the hose on, I water just about everything. Should I not water the lavender at all and just leave it?
Yeah, only water maybe every two or three times that you water the other stuff.
All right.
So just kind of go around it. It doesn't really want a lot of water. It's native in France, around the Mediterranean area, and lives on gravelly hills. So, that's the type of soil that it really wants. It's something that's got a lot of gravel to it and drains real good.
I'm going to maybe put some sand in there. Would that?
Not sand, pea gravel or something
okay.
like that.
All right. See, I don't know anything. I pretend I do, but I don't. 847.
That's why you have me.
I know, the show horticulturist. I love it, Dan. 847, can Dan please talk about pansies? I just planted some. What can I expect?
No flowers during the summer is what you can expect. They don't bloom once it gets hot, usually about Father's Day is as far as they want to go with the flowering. If they are in a shady or partial shade area, and you keep them moderately moist, and they survive through the summer, then they may bloom again in the fall, but not guaranteed.
So are they just a quick fix, the pansies? Because they are beautiful.
Oh, yeah. They're a wonderful thing in the springtime. They love the cold weather that we have in the spring and all the conditions. That's their favorite time of the year. And if they make it through summer, like I said, and live till fall, once the cool weather returns, they may start up and flower again, but not during summer.
All right, and petunias are something that they're a type of flower that are going to go all summer long, aren't they?
Pretty much, yeah. Usually around in August, they tend to slow down a little bit, so then you can cut them back. And they should re-sprout again and start blooming again after that, especially if you give them a good shot of fertilizer after you cut them back.
All right. 847, first time growing cherry tomatoes in a pot, and the plant is going crazy. There are a few clumps of green tomatoes in the middle, but it's getting taller and taller, and my friend said to cut it back from the top, but there are yellow flowers everywhere. Please help.
You don't cut it back until at least mid to late August. Cherry tomatoes are a plant that gets much taller than a normal tomato. They'll get up to 6 feet or more. And be better off if you could have planted it in the ground. But if it's in a pot, make sure you have a cage or some kind of support for it so it doesn't fall over, and keep it watered. And tomatoes love fertilizer, so keep them well fed. And but continue to perform. There is a variety called Little Bing, which is a dwarf cherry, and it only grows to about 24 inches. But that's the only one I know of that really stays small and productive and everything.
All right, so 847, keep Little Bing. Write it in your notes in your phone, and next year you can get that. It's only going to grow about 2 feet tall, which is a little more controllable.
Yeah.
847, how do you control inky mushrooms? Okay, question, what are inky mushrooms? I have mushrooms all over my backyard.
The ink cap mushroom is a shaggy mane. It grows upright, kind of a cylindrical-looking cap to it.
Oh.
And there is an inky black juice. And the best control of that is your favorite golf club. just knock them over. And they'll get rid of them.
Really?
Yeah, they are actually a good thing because they're an indication of organic matter in your soil. And the mushroom that you see is just the fruiting body of the fungus that's actually in the soil itself. But you really don't want to try and kill it or get rid of it because it actually is good for your – it's a good indicator. But if you don't like them, just knock them over, run them over with a lawnmower, knock them golf club, whatever you want to do.
All right. Well, I have like the big mushrooms that, I don't know, do the Keebler elves? No, they live in a tree trunk. They don't live in mushrooms. But yep. They're just your typical mushroom, you know, with the umbrella shape. And there are a lot of them within my backyard, like in the grassy areas.
Mm-hmm.
Are those hurting my lawn? Is it because I have a dog?
Well, it could be part of it because of the dog, but really they're not hurting anything. In general, those are what are called saprophytic, so they live on dead organic material that's in the ground, and that could be old tree roots, that could be rotted roots of grass plants or other things. It could be, especially around newer construction, it might be lumber that was buried by the contractor that they didn't want to get rid of, so they just buried it. And now it's decomposing. So it's an indicator of good organic matter, though.
And so the roots don't go really far, so I can just, like you said, knock them off and move on?
Yeah, the fungus of the mushroom looks more like a netting. It's very, very fine, and if you try to pick it up, it'll just fall apart completely. Sometimes those are fungi that are the mycorrhizae, which will attach themselves to the roots of the plant itself, and the plant will feed the fungus, and the fungus will take up water and nutrients out of the soil and then transport that into the plant. So they have a symbiotic relationship with each other. One's feeding the other.
Do you sell mycorrhizae, like a bag of that, that you could add, like when you're transplanting plants into a different pot?
Yeah, Espoma company makes something called Biotone. And Biotone is a mixture of various mycorrhizae, fungi, and bacteria that you can add to your soil. And it's quite beneficial. Good stuff.
Yeah, because when you, you know, repot a plant, a lot of times it goes through a very stressful period. Has a plant ever died from repotting it, an indoor plant?
Oh, sure.
From repotting it?
Yeah, it depends on how it was repotted. Sometimes people will take off a bunch of roots.
Oh.
Sometimes they'll have root rot and they just leave that on there, or they don't want to firm up the soil around the roots. They just kind of dump the soil into the pot and think that's good enough. And there are lots of ways to kill house plants like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, hold your thought. 312-981-7200 is the number to call if you have any questions about gardening, outdoor plants, indoor plants, perennials, annuals. We've got you covered here. We have a show, Horticulturist. 312-981-7200. We're going to let it grow. Wendy Snyder here, and our show Horticulturist joins us. This is Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. Dan, we have some callers today that have some questions for you. Let's talk silver maples with Al. Hi, Al.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
What you got?
So I have actually several varieties of maple trees on my property, and maybe I'm just getting old and forgetting things, but I could swear that none of them produced the helicopter seedlings this year. And I would swear that by this time of year, my yard and my landscaping would be full of those little whirly bird helicopter things all over the place, and I didn't get any this year. Was it because of the weather patterns, or they just don't do it every year, or it's really strange?
A couple of things may have occurred. Back in January, we had 11 below zero for a couple of three nights there, and the flower buds on the maples may have been killed. If you watch early in the spring, just as the trees are starting to come out of dormancy, you'll usually see like a reddish or a greenish mist almost looks like around the plant, which are the flowers. And if those flowers were killed off by the cold weather over the winter, that could be the reason. Another could be a lack of pollination. We may, again, have lost a lot of the pollinators in the winter, and they didn't come out early and pollinate. That's a possibility as well.
Al, you seem disappointed. I mean, really, they just get clogged in your gutters and they're all over the place.
Well, no, the main concern is whether I just can't remember anymore. But I'm not disappointed, and I'm hoping that whatever caused it returns every year, because I have to clean out my gutters and the landscaping's a mess. They sprout up everywhere because you can't get them all. So
that is weird, though. I didn't notice any either on our silver maple. Huh.
Yeah. So, hey, Wendy, you're my favorite radio personality. It's a pleasure to finally talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Al. And is Dan your favorite horticulturist?
He is now, because he gave me a great answer. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Al. We appreciate it. Mark has a question for you, wondering about a good time to split or transplant, I'm assuming, outdoor plants, Mark?
Hostas. I've got hostas everywhere. I got some that are 30 years old, and I try to get out there and split. I guess I'm getting old and forgetting. Is there a right time or a wrong time?
Well, the best time, actually, is to do them just in the spring, just as you see the little cones of new growth appearing, and then you can split them. But hostas and daylilies both are almost bulletproof. So if you did it, I wouldn't recommend this week with the 90-some-degree weather coming, but if you did it like last week, when it was cooler, and you made sure you got enough root on each piece and kept them watered, they more than likely would survive. But
yeah,
like I say,
you know,
early,
what I do?
Spring or in the early fall is best.
Yes, Mark, go ahead.
I wait until, you know, I've been doing this for years, and I always plant random stuff, and I go, wow, look at that. You know, they're sort of a bunch of them mixed in, and it looks cool. But I wait until they get, like, now they're really nice and big and full, so I see holes that I got to get something in there and fill that area. So that's, all right, so I'll do it in the fall. What I do when they're big is I take a hose, get soak it real good so they come out pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then we give them a shot of Miracle Grow and two in the belly button and they're ready to go. So, hey, look, I was a greenskeeper. I cut more grass and everything, and Milorganite is one of the best things to use on Ladies' Day, and I didn't say that. So,
yes, because there's
knows
a lot
what
of
talking
beer
about
in there.
All right, well, I...
So, yeah, that's it. That's that Milwaukee sludge. You can't go wrong, you know.
Well, thank you
for
calling.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. All right. Hibiscus question coming from Mary Ellen today. Hi, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm fine.
Sure. Go ahead.
My question is, last year I bought a hibiscus plant. It was on sale because it wasn't doing well. I thought, what the heck? I brought it home. Did great. It was an outside plant. It bloomed. It got cold, so I was like, well, let's bring you in, because I've never had one of these plants. So I'm like, well, let's bring you in for the winter. It did fine. It didn't bloom, but it was growing. So it got to be spring, and when it got warm, I'm like, okay, let's put you outside. It's warm again. And all the leaves turned silvery gray and were falling off, and it just looked like it was dying before my eyes. So,
what happened to it, Dan?
Sunburn. When you take a plant from outside, from inside, and put it outside, no matter how much light you were giving it in the house, the sun is much, much stronger. And so it's just like a person that's been sitting in the house all winter, and one day in spring they put their bathing suit out and then go outside and lay in the sun for 4 hours, they're going to fry. Same thing happened with your plant. You should move them into the shade for a week to 10 days and then put them into the sun. But normally they will recover and just sprout out new leaves. So it really shouldn't be a major problem.
Well, so, I panicked and I brought it back in the house. I said that I wouldn't harm it anymore. And so it's in the house and leaves are blooming, but now it has white little things on it. I don't know if it's some kind of bugs.
Yeah, those are white fly.
How do you get rid of those?
Extremely prone to white fly.
Does she use an insecticidal soap? Is that something that would help?
Yeah, that would be fine, or neem oil. Spray it about once every 3 or 4 days, at least three times over, in order to get rid of them, because the larvae and the eggs are not affected by the insecticide, so you got to repeat the spraying and get the babies as they hatch out.
Okay, now it sounds gross.
Well, can she put it back outside, Dan, but in the shade? So put it outside in the shade for about, 7 to 10 days?
Yeah. And then move it in the sun.
And then, you know, spray it while it's outside, Mary. Get rid of those white flies, Mary Ellen.
Can those go into other plants I have? I have a ton of indoor plants. Mm-hmm. Would those go to the other ones?
They fly around.
Get it out.
It's possible that they'll go.
Get it out.
Yeah, I will. I will. Very quickly.
Yes. Insecticidal soap. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Good luck to you. And I'm so curious here. We only have about a minute, Terry, but what happened?
Well, we thought we were going to treat our coffee plant and peace lily to, you know, a special afternoon, put them outside to get some good sun, and did that for a couple days. And then I think we burned them.
Oh, same
now,
thing.
Yeah. So how do we help them to come back to, you know, health?
Well, you put them back into, put them into a shady spot for, like we just said, a week to 10 days. Let them acclimate to being outdoors, keep them moist, but they may not be using as much water as normally, so just watch your watering a little bit better. And then move them back into the sun again after that period. And when you start to see new growth forming on there, then you can give it some nice fertilizer.
Okay, and that, so they will recover, right, Dan?
Normally, yes, any plant will recover.
All right. Well, that's good news. All right. We're out of time, Dan. Dan Costa, our show horticulturist from Vern Goer's Greenhouse. You can go see him at 5620 South Oak until you hear him again on a Sunday morning with me. Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy. Anytime you need me.
Well, hello, hello. It's Wendy Snyder here with you. 4th of July is right around the corner, less than a week away. If you're looking for something fun to do, well, I may be able to help you. I may not be able to help you. I'll explain in a moment. Joining us right now is Joe Cicero, marketing director for the McHenry Outdoor Theater. What's going on, Cicero?
Oh my gosh, Wendy, we have had a crazy like 3 months building up to having Major League Baseball is taking over the drive-in in McHenry on the 4th of July, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
Well, I saw this. It was MLB brings Cubs game and the Sandlot. Tell us how this all happened, because Major League Baseball was looking for some outdoor theaters. Well, you tell the story, because this is really right, cool.
So, yeah, it is, honestly. So me and the owner, Scott Dean, he's been the owner for 26 years. The theater's been open just over 70 years. And we got a message from someone that wanted to inquire about renting out the theater, like taking over the theater. And it's actually more common than you think. And we have like a standard price when people reach out. And as the marketing director, I get this message and I email the person back with the information. I say, hey, listen, you know, if you want to take it over, there's a cost of $1,200 just to rent the theater. And then if you want concessions and everything else. And I hear back from the guy and I realize it's a New York area code after he hit me back. And he goes, well, actually, I'm with Major League Baseball and we were wondering if we could take over your theater on the 4th of July for America's 250th birthday. He goes, and I won't hold you to the $1,200 cost of getting the theater right off the bat, which I was like, okay, the last thing I wanted to do was go to the owner and say, hey, the 4th of July, we're going to let Major League Baseball take over for that. So we only let people rent the theater out when we're dark, which is really in the early spring and then through the fall, because we're open 7 nights a week up at the McHenry Outdoors. So from there, 3 months of back and forth, trying to figure, you know, the Sandlot is the movie that's going to be shown that day. It's going to go into a Cubs-Cardinals game, and then there's going to be fireworks set off at the back of the theater to cap off the evening.
All right, well, that's the good news. The bad news is the tickets went pretty quickly, didn't they?
Oh, my gosh. So I say on sale, but Major League Baseball wanted to make this a free event for families. And, you know, we're going to have ballpark bites for people to eat. And there's going to be, you know, the kids can hit. I'm sure adults will want to do that. They're going to have these little activations. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, showing all of these things at one time is something we've never done before. And they're taking over 4 drive-ins in the United States out of about 330 of them left. Our tickets went in about 10 minutes, which MLB, and we have the largest venue, and then the other ones didn't, quote-unquote, sell out right away. So they were like, okay, well, obviously the demand in Chicago for baseball in the Sandlot is very high. But we do have a chance if people go to our website or social media, the McHenry Outdoor, to win some of the carload passes for the 4th of July.
All right. So people need to give the website because people need to go on here, and then you're going to post the winners on July 2nd. So there's still time to enter to get, what, a carload in there?
Yeah, so we do it by carload because that's how we, you know, normally will do it, because if we gave tickets away, we don't know how many people in each car. So for a carload pass, you can go to goldenagecinemas.com, goldenagecinemas.com, or just find McHenry Outdoor on social media. If you Google it, there's not a lot of drive-ins left, so usually we pop up. If you put McHenry Outdoor Chicago drive-ins, we're going to pop up on there. I think there might be 5 or 6 active in Illinois right now, and like I said, about 330, all that's left. At the height of drive-ins, it was about 5,000 in the United States.
The first movie, I was so late going to a drive-in. The first movie I saw at a drive-in was Waterworld. When did that come out? That was
okay.
Kevin Costner.
That was the 90s, and Tanned is like one of the worst Kevin Costner movies of all time. But, you know, so that was like maybe the early 90s for Waterworld.
Yeah.
What's great is, you know, I grew up in the Chicago area, same as you.
Yeah.
I grew up going to the Cascade in West Chicago off of North Avenue, which closed just before COVID, like 2020. So a lot of people come up from that area. And I remember, I have the coolest first drive-in movie. And I know that others listening are like thinking about the memories. So, and that's why I love working at the McHenry Outdoor. I saw with my parents Ghostbusters in 1984, and we had the quintessential, the blue station wagon, like the dragon wagon.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly like laying on the hood of the car, feeling the warmth of the engine. And you just thought it was the coolest thing as a kid to be able to like sit on your car and watch a movie. So it was Ghostbusters. And so this is a little piece of like movie history. This was 84. The second feature, which most kids fall asleep after the first feature, right? The second feature was another Dan Aykroyd movie that you probably would never guess. And I don't know if you've ever seen. It's called Dr. Detroit.
I was just going to say that, but I didn't know. That really? Is a goofy movie, yeah.
I remember being a kid like, what is happening with the guys from Ghostbusters? So, and, you know, not to geek out too much, but the way that we book movies still to this day, you try to work with the same studios, whether it's Warner Brothers, if it's Disney, because you get a better deal on like the tickets. Because most people don't know the admission at movies, like 80% of that could go back to the movie company. That's how they make more movies and the stars get paid. But I heard, I looked it up, in 84, Ghostbusters with Dan Aykroyd, he basically said, hey, if you're going to show Ghostbusters, my Dr. Detroit has to be the second movie.
Mm.
Which I just like an interesting little like movie trivia.
Yeah.
Thing. He probably knew that it wasn't going to do too great, you know?
Yeah, it was not a very good movie.
No, but it's Chicago tied to it, though. He's, you know, Dr. Detroit from Chicago. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah.
Now I want to see it again. I know.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But I remember watching part of that as a kid. You know, you're coming off of Ghostbusters with the Stay Puft marshmallow and everything.
Yeah.
And then you go into that and it's like, what is happening here? So
yeah. Ghostbusters, one of the best movies ever. And honestly, you're killing me, Smalls. I love Sandlot. It is one of the greatest movies. I want to know what happened to all the kids who were playing baseball in that movie.
You know, the Sandlot. So, you know, that's going to be shown. So it's McHenry Outdoor Theater. Again, if you want to win at goldenagecinemas.com or find McHenry Outdoor, that movie is going to be shown at 5:00. So Major League Baseball, with this takeover, they said, okay, we want to open up the gates at 4:00. We want to show the Sandlot at 5:00. And we said, okay, well, we have a 6-story screen, 150 feet wide, but you cannot see anything in the daytime. So they're going to put up like a special 50-foot LED screen in front of ours to show the movie in the daytime starting at 5:00 and then going to the Cubs and Cardinals game and then the fireworks. Most people are saying, well, can't you do the Sandlot into the fireworks? You remember the last scene where they play the night game on 4th of July?
No, but I...
They play. It's the only time of the year they play a night game when the fireworks light up the field.
Oh, yes, I do. I do remember that.
Yeah. So it would be cool. But yeah, most of the kids, is it Patrick Dunna is his name? That's the kid who says, you're killing me, Smalls, the catcher. he's pretty active on social. Squints still does stuff. You know, remember Wendy Peppercorn was the lifeguard where Squints, he can't, he tries to make out with the lifeguard, yeah, and she kicks him out of the pool and everything.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that kids just seem to love, and anyone who likes baseball is going to be into The Sandlot. A lot of fun. But yeah, we're looking forward to having this out at the McHenry Outdoor, and I appreciate you having me on to talk about it.
Well, I wish I had you on so listeners could get tickets for it, but you do have a chance to win a carload. How many carloads, yep, are you giving away?
So we have five more to give away, and it's, you know, one of those things, go to goldenagecinemas.com or, you know, just Google McHenry Outdoor. It'll take you there. And, you know, it's pretty unique. You know, 250th birthday of America, Major League Baseball, coming to the burbs of Chicago to take over. We're going to have Chicago dogs. Normally we have just our regular hot dogs and people put what they want on there, but they wanted it to mirror what ballparks are doing. Like, we're going to do ice cream and a helmet like you get at the ballpark. And I'm on my way to the Sox game on the south side on 290 right now, going to do my research.
The Sox are doing amazing, my friend.
I know. I can't talk about it enough. Seriously, it's one of those summers. That's why when Major League Baseball reached out to us, and then the Sox started getting hot, and then I have people that know I'm a Sox fan, Wendy, and they go, "Why aren't you showing the Sox game?" And I did bring it up, but they're playing away in Cleveland, so that they start earlier because they're east, Eastern time. So it wouldn't have worked out. So Cubs Cardinals is, you know, a good rivalry. No one's going to, you know, snub the nose at that. So it'll still be a blast.
No, and it's easier. See, listen, I've always been a Sox fan, and I've been mean to Cubs fans. And lately I've said, you know what, I don't hate the Cubs. Easier not to hate the Cubs when the Sox are doing better.
It's true. You saw, it's like a mirror of what I talk about now because, you know, my kids now, 18 and 20, like my youngest, Adam, has been to 8 games. I'm going to my 9th game today. They've won every time I've gone, which I got to find a piece of wood to knock on.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one of those summers where the Sox, they're overachieving, so to speak, and it's just so much fun to watch it. And both myself and the owner of the McHenry Outdoor, Scott, we're huge baseball fans. We're always talking baseball. A lot of the staff talks about baseball. So for Major League Baseball, it was such an easy, like, yes, let's do this. But, you know, 3 months of planning to get things ready, and we're really excited about it. Unique way to celebrate America's 250th birthday.
Absolutely, Cicero. I can't call you Joe Cicero. I don't think I've ever called you Joe. I just call you Cicero.
Listen, I posted on Facebook that my first internship was with Wendy and Bill on Q101 in 1996, which I'm still trying to figure out, like, What happened? It's awesome.
Well, we go way back.
I love you for having me on today. This was like the thrill for me. I'm telling you, so awesome.
Well, Cicero, I'm telling people, the tickets are gone, but you could possibly win them. 5 carloads. Go to Golden Age Cinemas with an S, goldenagecinemas.com, and register to win. And good luck to you, listeners. You can watch The Sandlot and then the Cubs and Cards, and Jimmy Mack and Michael and Dylan are headed to the Sox game right now. So go Sox.
I know. I already messaged him. I asked where he's sitting because I'm solo. That's where I've come in my life. I'm going to White Sox game solo because I love the team so much, man. I got to get down. You got to find time to go see him. So thank you, Wendy. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's great having, the Pope be a Sox fan, too. I think that's why we're doing better.
Yeah, they're doing the Pope hat game this week, this year as well. So that will be, I'm sure, a sellout when they get Pope hats away. I love it all. I love it all.
I know.
Well, baseball, that's why we're excited about this thing.
Well, good luck to you. And what a great score for the McHenry Outdoor Theater. You said you're one of 4 outdoor theaters in the whole country?
Yes. They're doing one in Jersey. One in Atlanta, you know, obviously a hotbed for baseball. One in California, and then we're the Midwest here in Chicago. I did want to mention we are open 7 nights a week. So, like, Toy Story 5 is showing right now. Minions and Monsters is coming up. Live action Moana. So we play new run movies, double feature, 7 nights a week through the summer. And then we do a throwback season that starts with a John Hughes weekend in August. We're going to play Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 16 Candles, and Breakfast Club to kick that weekend off. And if you want a spot, I'll save you one for that.
Yeah, I may have to go see that because I love John Hughes.
Yeah.
And Cicero,
yeah,
let's have you on the air again to promote that coming up when the summer's
anytime
ending. All right.
Anytime. Thank you, Wendy.
All you're right. Good luck to you, Cicero. Great to
all
talk
right
to you.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right. Go Sox. Joe Cicero, Marketing Director at the McHenry Outdoor Theater. I am so sorry that these tickets went so quickly. MLB is behind it, and now McHenry Outdoor Theater is giving away 5 carloads, so you can register at goldenagecinemas.com, goldenagecinemas.com. Good luck. I hope you score the carloads. That's going to be so much fun. Sandlot is a great movie. Eli, you've seen that movie? Like how many times?
Like a million.
It is such a good movie. I can't remember the last time I saw it, though. I do need to revisit that.
That was one of the movies we always had playing in the backseat of our mom's car. She had like one of the like minivans with the
yeah
TVs and the headrest. So like that, my brother and I were watching that on loop every single day.
All right. I don't know. I see a movie and I can move on to the next one. I don't usually watch a movie again and again and again, although I'm old.
I probably couldn't do it now, but at the age of 10.
Yeah, I guess.
That was my bread and butter.
I don't even remember what it was like to be 10. I really don't. All right. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. We still have things to cover, including some of the restaurants from The Bear that were featured. It's 720 WGN. Happy Sunday to you. It's Wendy Snyder here. Pride Parade is going on. It started at 11 this morning. John Hansen is on the Blackhawks float with Tommy Hawk. And we were going to check in with him, but he's probably super busy now, and it's probably very loud. So good luck to you, John Hansen. Dave Schwann is in the newsroom. And, Dave, you have a special little shout-out you wanted to do today.
This fits right in with what you were just talking about with movies and TV and everything. I was going to mention this earlier this morning, and then we got busy doing other things. But glad we're going to have a chance to work this in because today is the 100th birthday of Mel Brooks. He turns 100 years old today.
Congratulations, he made it.
How about it? And if you haven't seen The 99-Year-Old Man, the documentary, watch it. It's hilarious.
Well, now it's not an accurate title.
No.
Mel
Brooks is 100 years old.
And I feel so terrible because he has lost all his friends.
Yes. His best friend, Carl Reiner?
Yes. Now, who am I thinking of that they had TV dinners?
It was Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, yeah. And I believe they were having dinner, and that's when Carl collapsed.
Oh.
And they couldn't bring him around.
They would watch, was it Wheel of Fortune or something?
I think it was. Yes.
They'd watch that every night together and have dinner.
Try to figure out the puzzles,
yeah,
like we all do. Sure.
First of all, two of the funniest guys ever and creative.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt.
Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. And, God love him. And so many people, I'm just looking at what's your favorite Mel Brooks movie? Because I don't even know if I could pinpoint it.
Boy, it's a toss-up for me between Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein
and Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
But there's others, too. Silent Movie was wonderful.
That was really good. I loved Marty Feldman.
Wasn't he great?
He could do no wrong. there's so many.
Spaceballs,
yeah.
There's a new Spaceballs coming.
Yeah.
I know. First of all, I couldn't believe Mel Brooks was going, it was 99. And it's like, he's really going to do another Spaceballs? I don't know. I don't think you could ever top the original from 1987. Eli, you're nodding yes. Yes, you think you can?
No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be tough to top, but I'm still going to be very excited for this movie.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh, that's great, too. History of the World.
History of the World's great. Life Stinks. I don't know that I remember that one.
Just the title, really.
High Anxiety was
High
good.
High Anxiety was fun. That was a wonderful spoof, you might say, on some Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yes. The Producers. You know, I never saw that.
Oh, that, you know, that was an interesting story because it kind of didn't do well when it was first released. It was re-released in the mid-70s. I saw it in the theater around 1976 or 7. And then, of course, the musical on Broadway, it just really took off. So, it took a very long time for that to catch on, but it sure did.
His directorial debut, The Producers, 1967. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to Mel Brooks, and thank you for reminding us.
Glad we could get it in.
And that is his centennial, his sesquicentennial?
His centennial,
what is it?
Centennial.
Okay. All right, news time with Shawnee here on 720 WGN. Who is this, Eli?
This is Casey Musgraves.
Oh. I don't know anything about anything.
The song's called Butterflies. I think she won Album of the Year. This is part of her Album of the Year record, Golden Hour.
Sounds familiar. She has a sweet little voice, huh?
She's great.
See, I guess that I don't know what constitutes country, really. Is she country?
She falls under that umbrella. I wouldn't call that song necessarily country, but like she definitely falls under that genre for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Like country pop. Is it kind of?
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. I know nothing. I just know that I mentioned something to Dave Schwann, and he's probably gone by now, but I did have some Chicago history that I wanted to bring up, and I usually like to deliver what I say I'm going to. So
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. On this date, June 28th, 2013, we saw the first Divvy bike in Chicago.
Oh, really?
And now all I see are Divvy bikes all over the street. I mean, do people just get off them and leave them wherever they are?
Yeah,
they do. Is that how it's supposed to be?
Essentially, yes. You can find a Divvy station, I guess, and pick one up. And then if you find another one with a open slot, you just slide it right in, and it registers the fact that you returned the bike, I guess. Yeah.
I'm not seeing them in the slots, Dave. I'm seeing them on Lower
Wacker. I've seen those also, yeah. And I've seen scooters just kind of randomly all over. Yeah.
Yeah. 2013, Divvy officially launched on June 28. They had about 68 to 75 stations. 5 years later, operator Motivate, which was the company, was acquired by Lyft. I didn't know that. Lyft subsequently invested $50 million into the system to integrate e-bikes and fund citywide expansions. In 2020, the city began a massive expansion to reach every single ward in Chicago. And then 2022 to 23, the system had record-breaking usage with over 6.3 million trips in 2022 and expanded to include e-scooters and the Divvy for Everyone, D4E, Income Qualified Membership Program. I didn't know they had a membership program. Could I go get a Divvy scooter and, like, take it to Brookfield? Do you have to stay within the city limits?
I'm not sure about that. I would imagine they would want you to stay in the city.
Yeah, I think. 2025, the network expanded to more than 1,136 stations featuring newly designed stack stations. And then this year, Divvy extended its record-breaking momentum with over 6.8 million micro-mobility trips recorded in the prior year and a renewed city commitment, freezing member pricing through 2026. Am I the only one that didn't know there was a membership to this?
No, I didn't know either.
All right. They've evolved from the iconic heavy blue classic pedal bikes to include thousands of zippy e-bikes and docked e-scooters. And I'm pretty sure you're not just supposed to, like, slide to a stop and get off it and walk. That's what it seems like people are doing. So 13 years ago today, you saw your first Divvy bike here in Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, the Bear, a love letter to Chicago. That's what everybody keeps saying, including myself. And the focal point is Mr. Beef on Orleans. I've been there. I know, Shwani, you've been there. It inspired the Bear, served as the exterior for the show's beef stand. Then there are other, like Michelin, two Michelin-starred West Loop restaurant called Ever that was featured in here. And then Alpana Singh made a cameo at her own Gold Coast restaurant, Alpana, in season 4. There's all these restaurants throughout Chicago. Ed DeBevick's, God, I used to love going there. That was so fun. That's when it all started with the wait staff, you know, chewing gum and being really rude to you. I wonder, was that before Wiener's Circle? I think so. How long has Wiener's Circle been there? That's the question. Eli, could you look that up? Because Ed DeBevick's opened in 1984, and I can't remember if Wiener's Circle was before. And they're way ruder to you at Wiener's Circle. Pretty good hot dog, though.
Looks like Wiener's Circle came in 1983.
Oh, right about the same time. Ed DeBevick's had like the best meatloaf. They had a loud and snarky atmosphere. And the Green Door Tavern, the show's version of the Green Door Tavern, closes down at the end of the first season, depicting a crumbling restaurant industry in River North. But the Green Door Tavern still exists in real life. And it's been serving pub food since 1921. That is incredible to me. Lou Mitchell's was featured. The diner in the West Loop has been serving breakfast and what it claims to be the world's finest coffee since 1923. If you haven't been to Lou Mitchell's, go there. They do have a great breakfast. And the world's finest coffee, of course. But that was featured in the Bear. Johnny's Beef, the Elmwood Park Stable, is featured in a montage. Johnny's Beef is fabulous. It's 7500 West North Avenue in Elmwood Park. I am embarrassed to say I'm born and bred in Brookfield, Illinois. I grew up here. I've hung out here. I, you know, moved to Berwyn for a year, lived other places. I'm in LaGrange now. And I had never been to Johnny's Beef. Some Italian I am. I finally made the trek to Johnny's Beef. God, when was that? My son Michael and I went probably within the last year. That's how long it took me to get there. And we went to order. It's cash only. It's fabulous. And I asked, do you have mozzarella cheese? And they looked at me like I had two heads. And they said, no, we do not do cheese. I said, fine. You know what? It doesn't need mozzarella cheese. It's that good. And then we went out to a picnic table. And there was a guy sitting there with a bag of shredded cheese. And he heard me complaining about the no cheese. And he asked if I wanted some. And there was a half bag of shredded cheese that the guy was putting his hand in. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to take a pass. And another thing is it was cheddar cheese. Who would put cheddar cheese on an Italian beef? That's the biggest question. Jim's Original, the beloved Polish sausage stand, was featured in the Bear. Superdog Drive-In, Gene and Jude's, it's all in this montage. Fire Cakes Donuts, and some other great things. Pequod's Pizza was featured in an episode. And I'm just kind of flying through this. Michael Jordan's Steakhouse. Original Pancake House. A lot of the different recipes or restaurants featured in the Bear. And of course, our very own Tom Skilling featured in the last season ever of The Bear, and it was a pleasure to talk to him. We're going to take a quick break and check in with Steve Dale next here on 720 WGN. Wendy Snyder here with you. I'm wrapping things up. Steve Dale,
I don't think it's a bad deal.
Next.
So the Gay Pride Parade lines up right outside our house, literally right in front of the door, and It's the media floats that happen to be on the couple of blocks and some public figures. And I know a lot of folks, you know, just walking. So I've offered over the years, you know, to the people I know. To the people I don't know, it's a different offer. But to the people I know, you can use my bathroom for $5. No
problem.
That's
a deal.
Yeah. The people I don't know, you could do it for free. But the people I do know, $5.
Wait, that's skewed.
It is.
But I'd pay, if I had to go to the bathroom, I would pay $10.
They do have porta potties out there, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
do. See some interesting things.
I can only imagine. Yes. I love the Pride Parade. I was not able to get out there this year. John Hansen is on the Chicago Blackhawks float with Tommy Hawk.
I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went by the Blackhawks float, but he probably wasn't quite there yet.
No, you should charge him 20.
Last year, I saw him, as I think about it. Yes. But I got a Blackhawk t-shirt.
Yay!
With Tommy Hawk's image on it.
Oh, I love Tommy Hawk.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, years ago, I did a video shoot with Tommy Hawk. At Chicago, I would do this again, Chicago Blackhawks in a heartbeat, if you're listening, at Chicago Animal Care and Control. And what we did is we promoted adoptable dogs and cats that are available at the city municipal shelter. And Tommy Hawk was great. He was running around the yard throwing tennis balls to the dogs.
Oh.
And then the dogs were chasing Tommy Hawk all over the place. It was very funny.
Yeah.
And it was very cute. And they showed it on the Jumbotron. And
oh,
I
that's
did the
adorable.
Voiceover thing. Yeah, and we got dogs and some cats adopted that way. So Chicago Blackhawks, I would do that again easily.
Are you a watcher of The Bear?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I'm not
Don't give anything away.
I'm not completely finished. Two episodes?
Or three, yeah.
Of the new season.
Yeah, the new season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was saying earlier, and I'm going to make this very quick, we've had so many bad storms in the last week or three, and it opened up with it storming.
Real. I know.
And very shout out to Demetrius Ivory. He was featured.
I saw.
Our own Tom Skilling,
whom
I spoke to earlier today.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I missed it.
Yeah.
Because I was taking the train here because there was no way to get a car out. So.
But it's tough to be Steve Dale.
No. I love Tom Skilling.
I know.
Everybody loves Tom Skilling. I mean,
I really have not heard anyone say anything bad about that man.
So if you had a vote for the most beloved Chicagoan right now, I am certain it's not a politician who wins that vote.
Kind of might be the Pope.
Oh, yeah. But not that there's him. Okay, so I have to tell
other
Tom
than the Pope.
Yeah, the Pope and Tom Skilling, the same
yeah.
thing. I great idea. I will tell Tom Skilling that.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
I just love him so much, and I know everybody does. Everybody was texting in. He's the best, so yeah.
But it's the same as you. You're authentic.
So are you.
Well, yeah, but that's not about me, but I mean, you are. And what everyone, this is Wendy Snyder, what you're hearing. And
to know me is to hate me. That's what I tell people.
No, not quite. And I think audiences who listen all the time, and that is why, in part, they listen all the time. Radio has a special connection with people. That has not changed. And people feel as if they know you. But in your case, they do, because you are who you are on the radio. That's not true for everyone in this business.
Most people at WGN.
Yeah, WGN.
But, yes, a lot of times there's like a different version of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I still go into a little different version of myself when I do live commercials because I'm reading something.
Well, yeah, that's
different. I'm more professional.
Well, you are very professional. Yes, yes. So today on the show from 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock, Mariah Grande is going to be on. Now, you may or may not recognize her name. She's been in lots of TV shows, Chicago Fire, Chicago This, Chicago That, any show with Chicago in the name of it, but also has appeared on stage here in Chicago. She's been on Broadway stages, and she will come to town to the CIBC Theater in the show called Suffs about women's suffrage. And we had an interesting conversation. She said, of all the things I've done, have been lucky enough to do in my career, this is the most important, and especially at this point in time. I mean, I didn't even realize that it doesn't go back really that far to your grandma or great-grandma, depending on your age, when women did not have the vote.
I know.
And if you were an African-American woman, that goes even back fewer years. And I don't know.
It astounds me.
Yeah. So we talk about that. A lot to do in Chicago. Kristen Reynolds is the CEO and president of Choose Chicago, and she will be here to talk about, let's see, the Taste of Chicago, the 4th of July, local community festivals that happen all over the city. There is a lot to talk about. And apparently there is a big bus that goes from, and I think it's free, that goes from, I shouldn't say that because I don't know for sure, but I think so. Now
you're
it will
so
have
authentic.
To be. Yeah. It goes from downtown Chicago to the Obama Foundation Center that I just visited.
You did go?
Yeah.
I know
amazing.
A lot of people who have gone who have really.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but then I posted on Facebook and all of these people, too many people, not the majority, but too many people, said all these nasty things that were just not true based on all these weird, wacky rumors. But above and beyond that, said things that were racist. And I took down
Great.
Those things. I know. I mean,
what year is this again?
Exactly. I mean, it made me angry and sad both at the very same time. This makes me happy. Have you ever been to a Morton Steakhouse?
Yes.
Who hasn't, right? Amy Morton will be here. Did you ever meet Arnie Morton?
No, I was not.
He was, yeah, I, don't say you weren't old enough. I
no,
met
no,
him a
no,
couple
I
times.
Wasn't able to meet him.
Oh,
I just never.
I don't know. I think that's what she was going to say.
No,
but I did meet him. I had him on the air and various shows and all that. He would, and who hasn't been to a Morton's restaurant? If he was in the
so
restaurant,
good.
He would greet you at the door. Old school style, as if you were entering his kitchen or his dining room or his home. And we'll talk about that. Amy has a speakeasy in Highland Park that is opening called 1898. So I don't know why it's called that. We'll find out.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to know. The secret password. Didn't speakeasies mm-hmm. have that?
You had to have a password.
Yeah. So we're going to find out what that really is. And one of my favorite people, Frank Ferrante, is coming back to Chicago as Groucho.
Oh,
yeah.
He's great.
He is amazing. And, oh, one of the, oh, this is amazing. One of the greatest thrills of my life, Frank Ferrante, you know my cat's name? Our cat's name?
Yes.
It, which is?
Groucho.
Uh-huh. So Frank Ferrante comes to our house as Groucho to meet Groucho the cat.
Oh, that's great.
It was amazing. Yes.
My sister was a huge Marx Brothers fan, and she kind of turned me on to all the movies, and they just were great.
Yes, and, you know, his everything he did, I think anyway, still holds up.
I just have to laugh that there was some movies where Groucho just used black makeup to put his mustache
mostly
on.
Mostly, early
Why?
On.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
Grow one.
No, it was more fun that way, I guess. But
you could see it shining.
No, that's a good question. I need to ask Frank why he did that. What
yeah.
was that choice? Frank probably knows.
Yeah.
So he will tell this story, I think, but if he doesn't, I will. But you have to promise not to tell anyone.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Frank Ferrante was in the Broadway show decades ago playing Groucho, many decades ago. And the family was so enamored by his performance that they grew to be friends. The daughter of, if I've got this right, the daughter of Groucho Marx and Groucho's son did not talk to one another, but they talked to Frank. And they both chose Frank as executor of their wills.
Wow.
And the Groucho, the famous Groucho letters, because Groucho actually wrote a lot. And those famous letters are in two places, I believe. The Smithsonian Institute and Frank's basement.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they really admired the way he performed as Groucho. And I'll talk about that. I'll talk about when he's coming to Chicago and where he'll be in the Chicago area as well. And I think he is incredible as a performer anyway, Frank. So I always enjoy talking to him because he has all of these showbiz stories that are...
I could listen to him all day.
Uh-huh. That are very much behind the scenes mm-hmm. and a lot of fun.
You do a nice little job with your Steve Dale's Other World.
It's a little job, but I
no,
do a
I just...
Job. No, that's okay. It's okay. I'm little, so it's
I
perfect.
Don't know why I said that, but
no,
you do a great
perfect.
Job. You really do. I enjoy listening to you. So I'm going to get out of here so I can
no,
listen to you.
You can't go anywhere.
I'm going.
Oh,
I
no.
got weeding to do.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, Steve Dale's up next, and David
Jennings.
You're going to
collect your weeds.
Yes, I am. David Jennings in for Ron Brown, who's not feeling well today. And his news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Eli, thank you so much for producing the show. And I threw my cheat sheet away. I wanted to thank Caitlin. Oh, how do you say your last name, intern Caitlin?
Gajavich.
Gajavich. Caitlin Gajavich. Would you get it right, Steve?
I'll try. In fact, I introduced both of them. Eli and Caitlin, they were working together. They did not know each other.
Oh, well, good.
Thank God.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll be back next Sunday.
Caitlin, they were working together. They did not know each other.
Oh, well, good.
Thank God.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll be back next Sunday and listen to Steve Dale next here on 720.
Love you, Wendy.
Love you, too.
Bye.
WGN.